You're listening to another episode of
Total Talk Nonsense with John and Scott.
All right, Total Talk Nonsense with John and Scott. I'm John.
And I'm Scott.
And this is episode 122.
122, John.
I'm going to turn down the tunes there.
One episode after the great Stephen Hawking came
in. No doubt. That was something else.
That was out of
sight.
He is
pretty goddamn funny, man. I was laughing pretty hard. Especially when John said, push him over there, push him down the stairs.
Mm-hmm.
It was funny, wasn't it?
It was.
Remember when John said that?
I remember that.
Remember?
I remember that. But this is episode 122, John.
No doubt. What's up, Scott?
Not too much. What's up with you?
Nothing, honey.
What did we do? My whole family's sick. They all have the flu.
Oh, that sucks.
I read in the paper yesterday that the flu that's going around mutated. So if you got the flu vaccination, it's no good.
That's what I keep telling Rick.
For this flu.
It's a bunch of crap. That flu vaccination. It doesn't work. It's injecting you with the flu in hopes that you get that strain of flu.
Right. Which sometimes you do, and sometimes it mutates, you know.
Yeah, well, with kids, it turns into a monkey virus. It's like the kid adds to it this young, youthful component to the virus, and then when an adult gets it, it's brutal. Especially old people.
Not like you and me, John.
No,
we're not.
No,
we're in the prime of our life.
That's right.
I'll tell you that.
We're not that old.
No.
The prime. The prime for putting out the pasture. Yeah. You're one of those guys that's gonna go through the midlife crisis hard, man. I could tell.
I've been going through it.
With your faggot school story and all that, I was like, oh my God.
Yeah, the kids today. I
the
tell
you. Kids. Oh, check this out. Yesterday, Wicks is going out of business, the furniture company.
Right.
So we decide to go to one and see what we can pick up for the kids' bedrooms and shit like that. And as we're heading out, you know, on Oakton Street, as you pass the fire station, it merges right over the railroad tracks going eastbound.
Yes.
Well, we're doing that, and we go to merge, and this old couple speeds up, and they won't let the wife in. I'm like, just cut them off. She's like neck and neck with them, and then she chickens out, and she pulls back, and then they're just right on the tail of the guy in front of them. So we come to the light, the next light, and it's the same deal, but you got enough room to get about two blocks, and then it's cars parked on the right side of the road. So I said, get in the right lane. Do it again. Well, there's a pickup next to us, and then it's the old couple behind them in this tracer, or what the hell is it called? Not a tracer. Whatever.
Doesn't
it's like
really
a,
matter,
a foreign,
does it?
It's a Japanese car or something. So anyways, the wife guns it, and the pickup takes off too, and obviously this thing is the pickup's a lot lighter, so it takes off. So she goes to cut over, and the old people, they must have been like 80, and as they're passing by, the old lady's giving us the finger.
So what did you do?
Nothing. The wife chickened out. She instead of cutting over, she pulled back and got behind him. I was so pissed off, man. I was so pissed. I'm like, God, gee, what? And the kids were oblivious because, you know, and 10 seconds into the ride, they got a fucking video playing on the thing. You know, we got one of those DVD players.
Right.
And they're arguing for the first two blocks and which one they're going to watch. they got the thing going, and they had no idea what's going on. You know, we're going 60 miles an hour in a 35 trying to cut over some old people. And as they pass us, the old lady with her chubby, old, wrinkled, knotty fucking arthritis finger up pointing at us. I'm like, what the fuck? We say the Ute. Look at that. They're probably saying about us, right?
Yeah. Well,
she yelled out the window, hey, what, did faggot school have the day off?
My wife handles all errands related to money, right? But because she's sick, I had to run to the bank the other day. So I go, it's the first time I've been to a bank in 10 years.
Yeah.
So I pull up to the drive-up teller, and I get in line, and other cars fill the other lines, and I'm sitting there forever. I'm like, okay, what's going on? All these other cars in the other lane are getting taken care of. So I look in front of me. It's this girl in her 20s, early 20s. Whatever she put in the little tube wasn't good enough. So they sent it back to her.
Yeah, this
so
won't
do. So she takes it out. Then she's got to ask for a pen. So she's got to send it back. Then they send her a pen. Now, what really sent me over to fucking edge is the whole time she was on the cell phone. So she's doing everything one-handed. No. And I'm like, get the fuck off the phone, you idiot! It's going out of my goddamn mind.
Oh, I know.
And
it's just so
in the cars next to me, they're pulling up in the next lane, and boom, boom, boom. They're getting their service, and they're going because they know what's going on, you know? I mean, I haven't been there in 10 years, but I know to put my license in and to have a piece of paper. And
yeah,
but no, she's
got
to fill out the deposit slip. Like, she's never heard of a goddamn deposit slip before. What, I'm supposed to fill this out? Well, you're going to have to send me a pen.
You have to send me a pen, and can you fill it out for me? I'm on the phone.
Yeah.
I told you.
I was never more upset. If it was a dude, I would have got out and got it right up in his
and
fucking
punched
face.
Punched him right in the face. Give me that phone. Stomp it on the ground. What are you checking in with faggot school? I told you one time I was driving to work and this chick in a van is putting the makeup on and she's got the mirror down on the visor and she's doing, and she's going like 40 miles an hour. And I'm like, what the fuck is up with this broad? I pull up next to her, I look over, flash a dirty look. She looks back, she's smiling and waving. It's Zach's wife. Yeah, she, guest of our show, his wife.
So did you tell her? You say, hey.
Yeah, I went off on her when I got, we worked together, so I went off on her when we got to work. Yeah, that was great. Like, what the fuck are you doing? You know, lucky your kids weren't in the car. It's insane.
Well, the other thing we did noteworthy, John, is we went into the professional studio.
The studio.
It's a professional studio on Wednesday night. Unfortunately, it's for a class. So we have a bunch of students mic us up.
Yeah.
And the guy, John Towner, who does it, lectures during the whole setup. So, what was it, 3 hours?
Yeah.
We got in
it's
there.
Brutal.
Okay, to set up the bass, I just plug it in. I'm ready to go. But then, no, we got Rick's amp.
Yeah.
Goes in a soundproof booth. John's got to set up the drums. How many mics do they use for the drums?
Like 40, man.
It's unbelievable.
I was like, what the hell? Oh, we need a mic over here, over here, over here. One on top, one below. 16 mics on the kick drum. Room mics. I couldn't believe it. It looked like a Daddy Longlegs was attacking my drum set.
And then for every mic, like, for example, the bass drum. For 20 minutes. Okay, we think we got that.
My ankle was killing me the next day. Because it's not used to just the steady And I'm asking Rick, you know, what is he doing? And Rick says, well, yeah, he's talking. He's doing whatever. So when I got to work, I talked to Helen, who was a student there. And I asked her, I said, let me ask you something. When I was doing when we were doing the mic setup and doing the sound check for all the drums, was he just standing there talking and just totally forgot that I was kicking the drum. She said, oh, yeah, he would be talking. And then he'd go, oh, hold on. Okay, John, that's good. And they had got, she said, yeah, he had already gotten the EQ and the level and everything, like, done 10 minutes ago.
But he never told you.
Yeah.
Okay, let's move to the tom now.
I'm like, Jesus Christ. Yeah, so I'm going to have a talk with him. He doesn't need to tell them for an hour how the way the sound wave travels through the air and what, and you know, how many cycles it is. It's crazy.
Well, the one thing we found out is there's a drum set there.
Yeah.
So that could save a ton of time if you just have them set that up first and mic the whole goddamn thing. Then we just stroll
no,
in.
No, it won't, because we got there and they weren't even there yet. They're just walking in. Oh. And then one kid comes in and he goes, all right, yeah, I know this is the last one. But and John says, no, the last one was last week. So a lot of these kids are like burnouts, man. They're, you know, yeah, man, I'm going to college, community college. For what? To be a sound engineer. You know, I mean, what the...
Well, the other thing is, so after 3 hours of setup, now it's finally time to set the bass up. Scott, do you have an amp? Did you bring a amp? No. And then I'm getting like a look of, what the fuck, from the guy. Like he's upset with me.
Really?
Yeah. Just plug it in. Can we just plug it in? So we plug it direct line.
Because he wanted to show some miking techniques for...
And then, well, then I plug it in, and oh, you know, it's way too much on the high end. Can you turn that down? I need more on the bass end.
Sounds like me.
All right, I'm giving you all the bass I can, and I'll turn down the high end. Ugh. I get this attitude. Ugh. And he's got to go turn some knobs. I think that's an educational opportunity. Oh, and then when we're setting up, the kids are like, hey, so what are you guys going to do? And Rick says, two Disney songs. And they start laughing.
Like, that's funny, old man.
And we're like, no.
No, really.
It's... We're serious. We're doing a Hannah Montana and a Jonas Brother.
Great. Excellent. Can't wait to mix that.
Yeah, can't wait to hear that 50 times in a row while I mix it.
And then we kept fucking it up because Rick couldn't sing.
Yeah.
That threw me off.
Vocal.
That's okay.
Vocal cues. Well, that's the reason I started singing.
I would have charted it out had I known.
That's the reason I started singing in my very first band I was in, because we had a dedicated lead singer. The guy would never show up for practice.
Oh, yeah.
So we couldn't make it through a practice without somebody doing the vocal cues, and that's why I started singing.
Oh, that's, yeah. You're a pretty good singer, too,
hey,
man.
Thanks, man.
You know. Wow.
So anyway... We were there, I don't know how fucking long we were there. Usually, we wrap up the second guitar and vocals. This time, we just did the initial tracks. And then you guys have to go back to put the second guitar and the vocals.
Oh, I don't have to do shit.
You're not doing that? I say bring the shit back here, we'll do it here.
That's what I keep telling Rick. Oh, no. Oh, no, John Towner's going to get this great sound. Give me a break.
Yeah.
He's going to get the... It's very, very antiseptic, the sound. It's...
It's students.
Students.
Turning the knobs, John.
Yeah. I mean, for them to learn a vocal, whatever, that might be nice. But yeah, that's 3 hours is plenty of time to knock it out of the park. You know, it's real quick. Explain it to them. Let them have some hands-on. I don't think you need to go, you know. I think John's a little unorganized. You know what I'm saying?
He's
a little
so, yeah.
Unorganized. Yeah. He's a nice guy, though. Known him for a long time.
Yeah.
Over by there.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. He's born. I think he's born again.
Who
I don't
isn't?
Know if. Huh?
Who isn't?
John? Who isn't?
Nobody of importance.
I'm a born again atheist. Can you be that?
I think so.
All
if
right.
not, let's make it up.
Yeah. Actually, you know, we got to go for our reverendship. We can be reverends of our own church, the TTN Church of Nonsense.
Of Titanus.
Of Titanus. Yeah, the Church of Titanus.
Titanus.
That'd be great. Wouldn't it?
That would be great.
Titanus.
Titanus.
So when we do get those tracks back, we're going to put some other instruments on them. And the plan is to try to get our daughters to sing on those things, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
What's the matter?
No.
Yeah.
So that'll be cool.
That'll be cool.
That'll be so cool, bad.
Yeah, it will be.
All right, let's turn to email.
Emails.
Email. Just a couple of email we got here. I pulled from the mailbag. One's from Ben.
Ben.
And his subject line
What's his last name? Dover?
No.
Oh.
Subject line is the Zune Marketplace. Hey, John and Scott, Fort Wayne. A couple of years ago is when I first started listening to you two Masters of Thought.
Wow.
A wonderful lady by the name of Lori.
Oh.
Turned me on to you guys while we were working.
Lori,
she was my
Ben.
Boss at the library, and if I'm not mistaken, she's also your friend.
Yes.
Anyway, the point of me writing is to ask whether you or not you guys have looked into getting on the Zune Marketplace.
I just
happen to have a Zune, and it would be a hell of a lot more convenient for me to listen if it were.
Oh, the Zune. You mean like the...
The Microsoft Zune, right?
Zune, yeah. Like an iPod, but not.
Right. So I didn't even know there was a Zune Marketplace, so I will check into that, Ben.
Check it out.
Yes, gentle Ben. I will check into the Zune Marketplace.
It's spooky the way you say that, man.
Say
gentle
what?
Gentle Ben.
Make you angry.
We get this one from John. He spells his name the same way you do,
wow.
John. He's John E.T. Well, whilst I wait for you fucktards to approve my forum application...
Oh, I forgot to look it up.
I thought I'd email you and congratulate you guys on another great Netcast. I've been catching up recently due to me being distracted since getting an iPod Touch and tuning into Tiki Bar TV.
Oh.
You guys should enjoy this video cast, and Lala is pretty hot.
Ooh. I have to...
Anyways,
you saying woo or
no, that's
saying,
in the email. Oh. It's in one of those emoticons. That was my vocal translation of an emoticon. Anyways, I just thought I'd let you know. I think I found Alfie working on other netcasts.
Oh,
check this out.
Dude, I forgot to... Ah, that's right.
Yeah, I didn't check it out either. So we'll have to check that out. Maybe start busting Alfie's
did
ass.
Did you check it, man?
I didn't check
it,
no.
I did. It sounds just like it.
Are you kidding me?
I am not kidding.
What's the webcast?
Hold on. Let me find it.
So Alfie, the elf, is somebody who visits us on around the Christmas holidays. Sometimes he shows up in the summer because, you know, he's got a long vacation.
Yeah.
But he's an elf that works for Santa Claus, and he's making appearances on other shows.
Santa Claus. Santa Claus. Yeah. Yeah, he does, man.
What's the name of the other show, do you know?
Hold on. I got it right here, man. Here it is. Here we go. It's not a show. It's like a home improvement. I don't know what the hell it is. It's weird, man.
It's a podcast, right?
It's a podcast, but it's like some sort of advertisement for, I don't know. Here it is. It's coming up. It's coming in. Let me tune it in. Come on. Open up, God damn it.
Coming to you straight from the hood of the North Pole, all the way down south to the hood of Service Management Central. It's the art of service, y'all. Service Management Update, Elf Edition.
Yeah.
Hello, everybody out there in the world of service management. This is, of course, the Service Management Update, Elf Edition. You heard us last week, and we are back. The holiday season was fabulous.
Now he's doing a gay elf. I don't know what's going on.
Central. And
does he ever call himself Alfie?
No.
May not be lucky enough to have the holidays off. I know that the auto
Well, maybe that's like Alfie's boyfriend
time.
Or something.
And this is on Monday. I'm gonna use this time today to go ahead and do one of those. Okay, so
he turned into a gay Alfie.
Yeah.
To implement. Now, the time to fix an incident is about 10 minutes, and a working year has 200 days.
It's the art of service.
Then they break down
management
in every process. With a cost-benefit analysis. I know, isn't that great? Isn't that fantastic?
That is fantastic.
So what I'll do is,
the
don't
process.
Worry about all those figures. I'll just tell you the process. From
the process.
The process.
And then
the
give
processes.
You the total cost-benefit for that process. And
what is going on, man?
That are thinking about implementing ITIL.
Dude, you got to check out my podcast,
hey,
man.
Here's a little clue. Why not pick up the Planning to Implement Service Management book? Oh, there's a shocker. And see what's in it. And then decide where you want to go.
Did he mean the shocker? You know, like the shocker?
Yeah, the double.
So let me read
whammy.
Some of these cost-benefit examples.
Oh, we got to talk to Alfie about this. Maybe he knows who this guy is.
Yeah, I don't know.
You know, guys is.
What do you do when
you're angry? Management purpose is to minimize the disruption of the service level. So the cost-benefit example.
All right, well, thanks for turning us on to
that.
Johnny T, we will look into that and confront Alfie. We might have to Skype him next week.
Taught me how to answer the phone.
What?
Right on, Fred.
What is Fred talking about?
Do you have ways of showing you're angry?
Mm-hmm.
All right. Fred checking in.
All right, and the last email I pulled from the email bag is from the one and only Dan. Chicago Rock Circus.
Of Chicago Rock Circus. Had a gig last night.
They had a gig last night. We didn't go.
We didn't go.
I had to take care of my family.
Yeah.
They're illin'.
I had to finish my central vac.
Let's see. Well, he's talking about episode 119.
And watch
which
a movie.
I really can't remember episode 119.
No? Were you liquored up?
But he says, yes, John, I was busting your balls to get you going. Why do you think you got CC'd into the conversation? Anyway, he says, I will drag the band into the studio anytime to debate music, talk originals, or jam. Let me know. Dan. So we might have to set that up, find out when their next gig is, and maybe like 3 weeks before their gig, we can have them in to do a little bit of promotion there, John. A little bit of promotion.
Yeah, not till I get a door down here, man.
A door?
Yeah.
Right.
All
right.
Enough my wife here and you say the C word every other word, blurting it out. And
that was
four,
a mistake.
I have four people down here screaming at the top of their lungs. No, you didn't.
All right, John, let's move to India.
All right.
I don't know if you've heard this story. Newborn,
no.
A newborn, survives fall through moving train's toilet.
I heard that.
Newborn.
Weird, man.
Baby girl fell through the toilet in a moving train and onto the tracks moments after her mother prematurely gave birth, surviving nearly 2 hours before being found.
Wow.
The child's mother, who uses the single name Bari, was traveling with relatives on an overnight train when she went to the bathroom shortly before midnight Tuesday and unexpectedly gave birth to a baby girl.
Later, she fell unconscious and the baby fell through the toilet. 2 stations later, we knocked at the door.
Bari opened the door, soaked in blood.
When we asked her about what happened, she said the baby had fallen onto the tracks.
It's not funny, man.
Hey, man. It's got a happy ending. Here's the thing. Here's the thing about India, though. Toilets on Indian trains usually have holes that open directly onto the tracks.
I know. That's disgusting, man.
You know, I've heard from a lot of people. I had an opportunity to potentially, for work, go to India. And I was talking to some people about it. They're like, you don't want to go to India. It's the dirtiest place in the world is India. And I'm like, well, why? Why is it so dirty? And then I read a story like this. Can you imagine if you're like moved into this subdivision, right? And you got this nice house in India, upscale. And then they decided to run a passenger train right behind your house. And you got to... People are dumping loads on the way to work and stuff, and if they just falls right on the track.
Oh, yeah, it's brutal.
No wonder it's a shithole. They got to do something about that. You know, they got call centers there now. They're trying to get into the 21st century there,
yeah,
John.
Yeah.
But until you put a real goddamn toilet on a train, don't even fucking talk to me, right? I'm not going to go.
I know. I hear you, man.
That's brutal. Can you imagine, like, Des Plaines is the train capital of the world, John?
Oh, yeah. Tell me about that shit.
I mean, you can't walk 1 mile in any direction without walking over a train track. And now imagine, like, human feces all over the track.
Oh, yeah.
And your car drives over it, and the wheels muck it up into your car. Oh, that's just foul.
Yeah, especially if they fly over a street. But they're going pretty fast, so I imagine it's just spray. Unless it's a big lump, right? No?
No, it just falls out.
It's a big clump.
Yeah. Clump. Well, I'm sure, you know, if the train is moving, you know, Einstein taught us this, relativity. If the train is moving, it's not going to, you know, it's going to be a couple of clumps. And
oh,
it
yeah.
could be spread out over, you know, 50 yards.
Right.
And an observer outside the train... would experience it differently than the person actually shitting in the train. That's what Einstein
Thank you,
said.
Mr. Miyagi of physics.
Especially if the train was traveling at or close to the speed of light.
Oh. Oh.
Yeah, so remind me not to go to India until I clean that up.
Yeah, no doubt.
Oh, so anyway, the kid was 8 to 10 weeks premature, weighed 3.2 pounds.
Wow.
And survived. Survived falling onto tracks in 2 hours, crying on tracks.
Wow.
Do you want to know why men do not golf anymore, John?
In India?
In the United States, men and golfing in general is on the decline.
Really?
Yep.
I love golfing.
The problem is, offered Walter Herney, there just isn't enough time. Men won't spend a whole day away from their family anymore. I think I did golf quite a bit when I was a bachelor. But even then, I could only go 9 holes. I mean, 18 holes was just too much of a goddamn commitment.
Yeah.
And now that I'm married and have kids, forget it.
My wife wants to go golfing all the time in the summer.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. And she's okay, but, you know, when we go with another wife... It's like blah 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 beep 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 beep, and you're trying to concentrate, you know, and you want to say shit to each other like, oh, you know, you take a putt and miss, and you say some shit. I would say something to you like, oh, nice shot. Does your husband golf? And you know, it's not funny. If the wife's there, it just.
You know. Learn to swing that way at faggot golf school?
Faggot golf school. Right, exactly. Yeah, and, you know, and sometimes I like to tie one on, you know, so about hole number 5, I'm completely obliterated. So about hole 10, I got to stop drinking altogether and just drink water. So by 18, I'm sobered up, you know what I'm saying?
I think I know what you're saying. Yeah, I just don't have time. I got so many other things I'd rather do than golf.
Yeah, it takes a lot of time. 9 holes is enough for me. But I like it.
All right, other miscellaneous news, John. Are you familiar with the NBC show called To Catch a Predator?
Oh, yeah.
$100 million lawsuit claiming that NBC promoted the suicide of a former Texas prosecutor who was caught in the popular Sting series, To Catch a Predator.
When you were a little boy, what kinds of things did you like to do?
Is moving ahead after a ruling by a U.S. federal judge. And I'd like to read that ruling because... Well, let me read the story. So this guy, Lewis Conrad, a 56-year-old... assistant district attorney shot himself in November 2006 after he was confronted at his Terrell, Texas home by police officers. They were accompanied by an NBC news crew that was there to film his arrest.
Oh, my God.
To Catch a Predator, a segment on NBC's Dateline News Magazine program, lures men to a house with hidden cameras in the belief that they're about to have sexual relations with underage girls and boys. Keyword, underage.
Mr. McFeely.
There they are confronted by the program's host and promptly arrested.
Jesus.
In Conrad's case, he was expecting to meet up with a 13-year-old boy.
Mr. McFeely, when you were a little boy, what kinds of things did you like to do?
All right, so this guy shows
Mr.
up.
Mr. McFeely.
He thinks he's going to have sex with a 13-year-old boy. The host from NBC walks out, tries to interview him. The guy goes home and he shoots himself. Now, what did NBC do?
Nothing.
Tell me what NBC did.
Nothing.
Did NBC have feelings for a 13-year-old boy?
No.
Did NBC try to contact a 13-year-old boy and have sex with him?
No.
Did NBC put the gun to this guy's head and pull the trigger? No. And because he shot himself in the head, isn't that kind of like saying, yeah, I really fucked up this time?
Yeah.
That is one big pile of shit.
I can't believe they're going on with this lawsuit.
You know, spill hot coffee on your nuts when you know it's hot and then sue McDonald's. Anything's possible.
The sister Patricia is the one suing the network, saying Dateline was responsible for his death.
Oh, that's
not only that.
That is one big pile of shit.
And the harm to his reputation.
Boo-hoo. Good riddance.
Fucking A. It's unbelievable to me, and it's unbelievable that this judge...
The important thing to remember is that there are many things we can do.
Let it go ahead.
Angry,
sorry, Fred,
sad,
I didn't mean to step
happy.
On you.
Many things that don't
I don't know how to stop him.
Or anybody
I don't
else.
Know how to stop him. He just goes off.
All right, John, let's turn to movies. We got
Don't you find it weird, though, that Mr. Rogers has a guy named...
Mr. McFeely.
On his show. It just weirded me out even when I was a kid. What does that mean?
Mr. McFeely.
Well, what is he feeling?
He's
when
very...
When you were a little boy, what kinds of things did you like to do? Mr. McFeely.
Wait, listen to this sentence.
When you were a little boy, what kinds of things did you like to do? Mr. McFeely.
Yo-Yo Ma.
I don't know. Hello?
Hello.
Are you there?
I am. I'm just...
Can you do me a favor, Scott?
Yes.
Yes, I'm just going to feed my fish, and then I'll go out and wait for you.
All right. With Mr. McFeely?
I'm just playing with my new soundboard. Do you like it?
I love it.
Joe called and said that there was a man here who had some wonderful horns.
Is that what he's calling him now?
Oh, that's funny.
All right, John, let's turn to movies.
Movies.
Now, you and I both saw a couple of movies, and then we'll get into our top 10
movies we fucking hate.
Right on. Thanks to Stephen Hawking for that title.
Movies we fucking hate.
Before we get to that, Terminator 4, starring Christian Bale, will be released May 22nd, 2009. How about that, huh?
It's great. I'm just laughing about how you tried to fake Stephen Hawking.
I didn't try to fake it. That was his.
I don't do that.
Something with the time continuum screwed up his MS-DOS 4. So he stopped.
Oh, whoa, sorry. Sorry.
Ah, you hit me right in the face, man.
Remember that time I tripped over the mic cord and it smacked you right in the lips?
Yeah, I remember that, yeah.
I'm sorry.
All right, man. So what did you see? What DVD did you see?
I saw Beowulf.
Beowulf. That's like a kid's movie, right?
No, it's not at all. I thought it was.
What's it rated?
Shit, what is it rated? I think it's like PG-13.
It's animated, kind of, right?
Yeah, hold on. Let me get it here. It says, it is rated. The one I had was not rated. It doesn't say what's fucking rated here. I think it's PG-13. It can't be R. Because there's some sexual themes. There's some naked asses.
But it's animated naked asses.
Yeah, no, but you got to see this thing, man. First of all, it's based on a old English epic poem. It's like one of those kind of folklore things about a hero and this Beowulf guy. There's this crazy monster that starts just beating the shit out of this town. But before I get to that, it's done by Robert Zemeckis, and he did the Polar Express with Tom Cruise. And it's done in the same way, same manner, but even a little better.
I mean, sophisticated.
More sophisticated. And it stars Ray Winstone as Beowulf. He's that guy that has a really thick, heavy, I don't know if it's English or Irish or what kind of accent it is. But anyways, Anthony Hopkins is in it. Robin Wright Penn, Alison Lohman, John Malkovich, and Crispin Glover, who plays the Crispy Gloves plays the
I'm a big fan of Crispin Glover.
He plays Grendel, this crazy fucking 12-foot monster.
Isn't Angelina Jolie in it?
Yeah, Angelina Jolie is in it, and she's almost completely naked. She comes like out of the water. She's like this sorceress or witch or something. Comes out of the water, and as the water's coming off of her, she turns from like a golden to, as her skin is changing to flesh, it stops right at her breasts, but you could see her nipples through the
must have been cold water.
Golden,
then.
Yeah, it's cold, very cold water.
So even fairy tale characters are affected. Their nipples are affected by stimulation, excitement, or cold water.
Yeah. So I'm watching this thing, and at first I'm like, God damn, I had no idea who was in the movie. I bought the DVD, and I wanted to watch it to see if it was okay to watch, because it wasn't rated for my son to be able to watch it, too. And I watch this thing, and I'm like, holy shit, man, this is really violent. This monster Grendel, who can't handle the noisy celebration of this mead hall, and mead is some sort of a drink that this king of Denmark is known for making, or his city is known for making, village. And they're partying. They're making merry, Scott. And they're so freaking noisy that this monster, Grendel, comes into the place, kicks the door in, and just starts ripping people apart, literally picking soldiers up and ripping their legs off. Takes one guy and pulls him apart, and then squeezes the body into his mouth. I mean, it's just nasty.
And so, would you let your son watch it?
No.
No.
No, it's a little over the top.
What, like 15, 14, maybe?
No, I think 12 he'd be
12.
Okay.
12.
But the animation was so good. At times, I was literally thinking these are real actors. I mean, because there'd be like a still shot of their face. And Anthony Hopkins, they animated him with his actual face. Everybody in the movie has the actual face. Even John Malkovich and Grendel, who doesn't really say much. He talks in the old English, which is kind of the Germanic, the birth of English.
Give us
so it's real
an example.
Broken up. It's just real broken up. It's like
give us an example. Yeah, go ahead.
What do you mean?
Give us a phrase. What does he say? How does he sound?
He'd say like Grendel is happy, and he'd say, "Grendel, mine gladness," or something. It'd be this goofy Denmarky kind of German English. It'd be all broken up. And so he would speak like that, and Angelina Jolie, who's his mom, would speak to him like that. And the whole thing is there's some weird shit going on where the king has done something, and you don't know exactly what it is, but you kind of figure it out right away that he banged Angelina Jolie, and this is his bastard son. And the son kills everybody except for him and his queen. And here comes Beowulf. He comes in, and he's this hero, and he's got these 14 guys that are going to help him. And he decides to take all his clothes off and fight this guy mano a mano, naked, because the monster doesn't have any weapons.
Full frontal?
Well, they don't show the full frontal. They get really close, but every time he stands up or moves, somebody is scratching their head just the right way. So
like Austin
Powers.
Yeah.
And so he kicks the shit out of Grendel. And then the mother gets pissed off, and she comes in and wipes the place out. And he finds out there's a mother, so he goes to kick her ass, and he ends up doing the same thing, shtupping her.
Nice.
And the king figures it out. He goes, finally, the curse is lifted for me. And he proclaims that Beowulf be the new king of this village. Hands him his crown and jumps out the fucking window of the castle. And here, all of a sudden, now Beowulf is the king, and he carries this thing, and he's going on through life, and they show him later as an old man conquering all these villages, and finally he just is sick of this whole crap, and he's miserable, and he's at the same time, they got this thing, a term called a bed warmer. He's got a queen, but she doesn't sleep with him. Some 18-year-old chick does. So he's got himself a bed warmer. It's pretty funny. But then his son comes back, his bastard son, and starts fucking up the town. And he's got to make things right. It's pretty good, man. I was like, whoa, this is actually fucking great. I thought, you know, Polar Express was kind of nice, but for the kids, but the kids kind of look creepy with their glassy eyes and inside their mouths look weird. I mean, they're just kind of creepy. And even in this had this weird, some of the people looked a little waxy, you know?
Yes.
But then other times, the main characters looked really fucking good. I mean, the hair, and I was really thinking, shit, if they really perfect this, we're not going to need anybody to act anymore. You could be this fat, ugly piece of shit, and they can make you look damn good.
Well, let's talk about the process, though. Is the process, like, for example, with the version of Premiere that we have, we can film, and we can turn it into animation.
Right.
Is that the process? So, well, do they go through the...
They do. There's what they do is, for the first hour and a half, and it's very efficient how they film. They have a really tight schedule. They have this huge, like, room, and everything, they have all these props all around, but they're wireframe props. And they're different colors, and even the props for the swords and stuff, they're all scanned. They have certain color codes to them, so the computer knows exactly whose sword it is and all that, so they can't get mixed up. And this hour and a half process before they go in and do their acting, they get these little tiny dots put all over their face. I mean, like 100 of them on their face. You remember how we had to do our thing for the sleep apnea where they put all those? They do like 50 times more. And they wear a special suit with them all over their suit, you know, like a real tight, form-fitting diver suit with all these little balls on them. Even the horses had them. They had real horses running around this room, and they're filming it. And I was thinking, holy shit. And they're really got to do the acting themselves, you know, just act out the scene with no idea what they're looking at. Everything's like gray. So they're on the bow of a ship rocking back and forth, and it's just this big giant gimbal with a couple of poles on it that they hold on to, and they're pretending they're looking, you know, they're really acting. And I mean, their movements and their facial features and everything are actually being recorded by the computer, and then they animate over it. I thought it was fucking kick-ass, man. So I really dug it. Yeah, I think it grossed worldwide like $195 million. And it was $150 million to make it. But it was very, very efficient the way Zemeckis, every day was just 8 hours. And, you know, you've heard how they do these they film movies and it takes forever, you know, and they can film anything, anytime, anywhere. It doesn't matter. People, their faces could be unshaven because the, you know, it doesn't matter. It's just picking up these dots. It was really cool. I liked it a lot.
So how many spinies?
How many do we normally give? What's the max?
Four.
Four? I'd say three.
Three? Not yeah. 3.5? Just three?
Well, I mean, it's animated, you know. I mean, come
all
on.
Right. Yeah.
I guess for the animation, yeah, three. And it's you could see it in 3D, too, I believe, because they do some stuff where, like, a spear is pointing. You remember that scene where Rambo has got, like, an arrow a centimeter away from his eyeball?
Yes.
There's a scene like that in this where a guy's holding a spear, like, a centimeter from Beowulf's eyeball. And because of with the animation, they can put the camera anywhere. So for like a 3D shot, this sucker would look like it's just about to touch your own eyeball. You know what I'm saying?
Yes. Yes.
What the hell's that?
It's my Arnold impression.
Yeah. Yes! Well, I could do that.
I saw a movie that came out in 1952 with Bing Crosby and Bob Hope.
Yes, yes. Yeah.
Road to Bally.
Stop whining.
Now, I know these guys made a lot of these road pictures. Have you ever seen any of these?
What is it? Oh, road picture, yeah.
This one was called Road to Bally.
And who was in it?
Bob Hope and Bing Crosby.
Oh, yeah. I've seen that one.
And Dorothy L'Amour.
Yeah.
Do you remember anything about it? Because I thought it was the most fucked up movie experience I've ever had.
Really? No, I don't remember. Is that the one with Egypt and all that in there?
Well, I'll give you the synopsis. Right. Having to leave Melbourne, Australia, in a hurry to avoid various marriage proposals, two song and dance men sign on to work as divers. This takes them to the idyllic, is that a word, idyllic, island on the way to Bali, where they vie with each other for the favors of Princess Lala. The hazardous dive produces a chest of priceless jewels, which arouses the less romantic interest of some shady locals. So then they gotta go to Bali, you see? Road to Bali. And, you know, the first 10 minutes, it's like a normal movie where they're setting up a plot. And then I don't know what the hell happens.
They start singing and dancing?
Well, yeah, there's that. And you can expect that, right? But some of the stuff that goes on in this movie was... I have never seen in any movie ever. I mean, if I had a big doob, I think it would have been a lot better. But again, my wife left. She walked out on it with like 30 minutes left. She could only take 60 minutes of it. Oh, when I told her we were doing movies that we fucking hated.
Yeah.
She rattled off Perfume, New World, Superbad. And she said, go ahead, add this one to the list, Road to Bally.
Superbad.
Yeah, she hated Superbad.
Oh.
How could you hate it? You fell asleep 20 minutes in. You only saw 20 minutes of it.
Wasn't there a giant squid in the movie
there
or something?
There is a giant squid, yes. A giant squid.
I got to watch it now.
All right, man, you ready to turn to the top 10 movies we fucking hate?
Top 10 we fucking hate.
I did not bring any sound clips in.
No.
You did, though.
Well, before we do that, can we take a break real quick?
Of course we could take a break.
I got to take a squirt, man. And I need to beer up. I need to beer up. So here's another song from Practice on 131. It's horrible.
Horrible.
That's not the title, but... just check it out. You tell us what you think. Any way you want it, that's the way you need it. Any way you want it. She loves the thing. She loves the same. She loves everything. She loves the moon. She loves the groove. She loves the love of man. We'll be right back.
Thanks, man.
Well, stop, man.
Here, have that. John just got back. Gave me a beer. Probably got a new beer. And we're about to get into our top 10 movies we fucking hate, John. I wonder if we have any common movies.
I doubt it.
Nah, probably not. I do have some honorable mentions.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
Two of them I haven't even seen, but I know I would fucking hate them.
Well, that's not... No.
Yes.
That's not allowed.
I'm going to say it.
You know...
All right, forget it. I won't say
no,
it.
No, go ahead. No, say no, it. I don't want to say it. Whatever you want.
No, whatever you want, John. Yeah,
apparently, it's
apparently,
the rules
I
change.
Can't say... honorable mention for the 10 movies I fucking
for the,
hate.
Yeah, for the 10 you hate and the other 50 that are honorably mentioned.
I only have three. And two of them I haven't even seen, but I know I would hate them. I just know
it. Just know it.
Yeah. One is License to Wed with Robin Williams, because I can't stand Robin Williams.
I'm not putting anything down I didn't see. That's just dumb.
Well, that's why it's an honorable mention.
Oh, Jesus.
That's why it's an honorable mention.
And the one that I did see an honorable mention, almost made it into the list. I spent a lot of time, and I said, no, I can't put it in the list. I can't. But When Harry Met Sally...
Really?
Hated that movie, but I didn't hate it enough to put it in the top 10.
Mine were tough. I don't see a lot of movies that I would hate, because I'm not one of those. I guess I don't know.
Well, for me, it comes down to is it so below my goddamn expectations I hate it, or is somebody's performance in it so horrible? It just drags the whole movie down with it.
So horrible.
And it was hard because when you see these things and you hate them, you forget about them.
Yeah,
you try
totally,
to.
Totally. I did. I forgot about them. And boy, there's some that I really fucking hate. And then I thought afterwards there's some others, you know. I think I missed some.
You could have put those in honorable mention.
I do have one that's an honorable mention.
What is that?
What do you mean?
What's your honorable mention?
Super Troopers.
I've never seen that one.
Well, if we play the dating game theme, I can't play my sound bites.
You can't pause it and play your sound bites?
I guess I could.
Are we going to go 10 to 1?
10? Right, to 1.
10 to 1. All right, John, who's going to go first?
10 to 1.
10 to 1. Starting out with our 10, number 10. Who's going to go first?
Go ahead.
Number 10 for me?
Yeah.
Good Morning Vietnam, 1987.
Oh, come on.
It's got
man.
A 7.1 out of 10 rating. It's my highest rated movie on IMDb. It's about an unorthodox and irrelevant DJ begins to shake up things when he is assigned to the U.S. Armed Service radio station in Vietnam. It stars Robin Williams, Forrest Whitaker, and Bruno Kirby. And I got to tell you, Robin Williams, it's excruciating for me to watch this movie because there's scenes where they set it up where he's got to be funny. So he's got to turn it on,
yeah.
And you know it's got to be funny.
Yeah.
And it's really not funny. And it just didn't work for me. It did not work for me at all. And it was excruciating for me to watch. Because they're trying to do comedy and drama. And I like Robin Williams as a drama guy.
Yeah.
What would be the term? Dramatic actor?
Yeah, that would be.
Like the one where he was the psycho guy in the photo.
Yeah.
That was a great one.
Yeah.
Insomnia. I even liked him in Good Will Hunting. But when he's got to be funny, you know, it's just so goddamn painful for me to watch. And it's not funny. It's not fun. And so that's why Good Morning Vietnam is number 10 on my list, John.
All right. Well, my number 10 is is this.
The countdown has begun to the movie event of the summer, and it can only be described with one word.
That's right, Scott.
It hasn't said it yet.
It will. It's got the biggest fucking intro I've ever heard.
Yeah, this is the most annoying. Oh, I think I know what this is.
You better be reading my name tag first.
Yeah, I know what it is now.
How about special, sir?
I never get tired of hearing him say that.
I'm Mr. Ichinawa, and this is my colleague, Yoko Takanoshi.
Konnichiwa.
Right on. All right, man.
The Dukes of Hazzard, 2005, Scott. 2005, Dukes of Hazzard. It's loosely based on the American television series, The Dukes of Hazzard. The film was directed by Jay Chandrasekhar and released to theaters in the U.S. on August 5th, 2005. The Dukes of Hazzard depicts the adventures of Cousin Bo, Luke, Daisy, and their Uncle Jesse as they outfox crooked Hazzard County Commissioner Boss Hogg and Sheriff Roscoe P. Coltrane.
Correct me if I'm wrong, but you purchased that, didn't you?
I don't know if I did or not.
Because I almost borrowed it from you. You need I remember to seeing it.
You need to borrow it. It's fucking horrible. But it stars Johnny Knoxville and what the fuck's his name? Stifler and
Scott? Something Scott?
Yeah.
Is his name?
And Jessica, not
Jennifer.
Jennifer. No. Not Jennifer.
Jessica. Jessica Simpson,
Jessica
man.
Jessica Simpson.
Right on.
And what's his name? Burt Reynolds.
Well, I remember Jessica Simpson did some sort of a video to promote this movie, and she's dancing around with cowboy boots and a bikini washing the car, and it was the most unsensual thing I've ever seen. I mean, she is one attractive woman, John, but there's no sex appeal there whatsoever.
No,
she should just shut up and stand still.
And you know, I might have bought it because one of those things I do, and it's just brutal. A movie comes out, I wait for Tuesday, I run over and I get it. And I don't know why, because I did see it in the theater and I hated it.
And you still bought it?
Yeah, but you know why? Because I think the outtakes is the only reason I bought it, the special features. Because when you watch the outtakes, they're pretty fucking funny. There's even a scene where Fred Thompson says something about looking at... He was having trouble with his lines because he couldn't stop staring at Jessica Simpson's titties.
Fred Thompson, the guy who ran for president?
Yeah. I'll have to get that.
Clip it out.
He says something like, I keep screwing up my lines because I can't stop looking at her titties. The outtakes are funny. You can YouTube them, and they're hilarious, but the movie sucks.
Before Netflix, I used to just purchase movies anyway because I usually would rent them from Hollywood or Blockbuster. I'd turn them in late. I'd have late fees.
Yeah.
And then I'd have to deal with those assholes that worked at Blockbuster. So I just went and bought them. It was much easier and less stress.
Yeah, you can look at my collection. I got movies in there that are still in the fucking plastic. I never even took them out. Never watched them.
All right, John, my number nine, moving on to number nine.
Number nine.
This movie came out in 1994. I take that back. This is my highest rated movie. I thought the other one was the highest rated, but this is my highest rated movie on IMDb. 8.5 out of 10.
Wow.
This also won Best Picture, Best Actor in a Leading Role, Best Director, Best Effects Visual, Best Film Editing, Best Writing. Screenplay based on material from another medium. Do you know what the movie is, John?
No.
Forrest Gump.
Really? You fucking hated that movie?
I fucking hate Forrest Gump.
I cried like a baby watching
that movie.
You cried? Yeah, I loved it.
Which part did you cry at?
I loved my Jenny.
I couldn't stand this movie.
Because you're my Jenny.
The first time I saw it, I thought it was interesting what they did with some of the digital effects and putting him in historical aspects.
Chronological order?
Right,
with the different presidents.
But Forrest Gump's not the brightest bulb in the lot, John. But the overall message here is something I didn't like either. You can be as dumb as, dumber than the W, John.
Yeah.
As long as you have some sort of a moral compass that's based on stupidity, you will make it in life. That was the message that I got. I didn't like the message. I thought the movie was depressing as all hell. I thought when he ran across the country, that was the stupidest goddamn thing I've ever seen ever. And I didn't like it. Didn't like it.
I don't think it had anything to do with the moral compass and stupidity. I think the moral compass is not based on stupidity, but it's such a simple concept that if you just have a good life and you're nice to others, and they'll be nice to you. And even if they aren't, fuck it. Just keep forging ahead.
Right. Well, that's the thing. Because of his, whatever you want to call it, stupidity or lack of observation.
And his mother's love.
And he really couldn't tell when people were being mean to him. That's how dim-witted he was. And I had no interest in this movie whatsoever.
You are so fucking angry, man. I don't understand.
Hey, this is
you.
Movies we hate, okay? It's
you
not about
so
movies we kind of dislike.
Do you have ways of showing you're angry?
Jesus Christ. Just tell me about your nuts.
Forrest Gump, while not intelligent, has accidentally been present at many historic moments, but his true love,
ladies
Jenny,
and gentlemen, Scott Gump,
eludes him. So Jenny, you know, always thinking she could get something better.
Yeah.
You know, I can do better than Forrest. I can do better than Forrest. And she gets messed up with drugs and who knows what else.
That has nothing to do with it.
Sure it does.
Her dad was an alcoholic and beat her and fondled her.
Oh,
don't you remember
boy.
The scene where she throws rocks at the house because she's so upset?
Yeah.
At seeing the house.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Jenny, I bought this house for you so you can throw rocks at it because you're my Jenny.
Run, Forrest, run.
Run, Forrest.
Interesting trivia. John Travolta. I could have hated this movie more, John. John Travolta turned down the role of Forrest Gump. I could have hated it even more.
God, you know, see, I would have loved it then. 10 times more.
And also, the movie was named as one of the 20 most overrated movies of all time by Premiere Magazine.
Wow.
I hear that.
Yeah, no doubt. All right, ready for my number?
Number nine.
Dude. You got a tattoo.
What? So do you, dude.
No.
Oh. Dude, what does my tattoo say?
Sweet. What about mine?
Dude, what does mine say?
Sweet. What about mine?
Dude, what does mine say?
Sweet. What about mine?
Dude, what does mine say?
Sweet. What about mine?
Dude, what does mine say?
Sweet. What about mine?
Dude, what does mine say?
Sweet. What about mine?
Dude!
What does mine say?
Sweet!
Idiot! Hey, Buckwild, only come to Jango Sanzinger. Your tattoo says dude. Your tattoo says sweet. Got it?
I have no idea.
My
I have a
number
guess.
Nine is dude, where's my car?
I was going to guess Dumb and Dumber.
Yeah, it's from 2000. It's a comedy film directed by Danny Liner, Jesse and Chester, Ashton Kutcher, and Sean William Scott are two stoners who wake up from a night of wild partying to find out that their car is missing. This film tells the story of their journey to find the car. This movie received poor reviews from critics, but was a modest box office success. and has managed to develop a cult following after its DVD and home video release. I could not fucking finish watching it. I had to shut it off. I couldn't take it. And people recite lines to me from it, and I'll go, no, I hate that fucking movie. What are you saying?
What are you saying, man?
I hate that fucking movie. Dude, I fucking hate that. What do you mean you fucking hate that? Remember that part? And then, oh, I just want to stab somebody in the fucking throat. Yeah, I fucking hate that movie.
I never got to see that one. Guess I'll stay away from it.
No, you should check it out. Just because I fucking hate it doesn't mean you'll fucking hate it.
All right, are we ready for number eight?
I'm ready.
Number eight. My number eight is about... I can't tell you what it's about without giving you Deuce Bigalow, European Gigolo.
Oh, I never saw that one because I knew it couldn't be any good. Did you see that?
I did see it, and the only reason I saw it is because Ebert did a review on it, and he went back and forth with Rob Schneider, and I loved Ebert's review. He ripped a new
a-hole. We talked about that on the show.
So I happened to be on demand, and I happened to tune it in and see almost the whole movie in its entirety. And it's with Rob Schneider, again, reprising his epic role as Deuce Bigalow, and Eddie Griffin is TJ Hicks. And there is not one goddamn funny thing in this whole fucking movie. It is so unbelievably bad. It's set in Amsterdam. And they couldn't think of anything to come up with. And you know, when I was researching, I'm in IMDb, and it says it won an award. I'm like, what? You gotta be kidding me. It was 2006. It was nominated for the trashiest trailer.
Oh.
But it lost. I don't know who it lost to, but it was nominated for that. Yeah, I hate it. Oh, it's 4.3 on IMDb.
I fucking hated that.
I hated that goddamn thing.
Here's another movie I fucking hate. My number eight.
Number eight.
Here it is. That's right, Scott. 1999's Wild Wild West.
Did you see that in the theater?
Yeah, with Will Smith. And you know, I thought
he went with you.
That's what he's got. No, he was in the movie. It's a Woody Award-winning science fiction comedy film directed by Barry Sonnenfeld, starring Will Smith, Kevin Kline in two roles, Artemis Gordon and President Ulysses S. Grant, Kenneth Branagh and Selma Hayek. And it's just, I don't know. I mean, I like science fiction, but this was just too fucking lame for me. I fucking hated it.
I don't think I've ever seen it. I think I've seen 10 minutes of it.
And I was really having a hard time with finding movies I fucking hated because it was, I don't go for movies that I want to fucking hate. Like, you watched a movie because Ebert
trashed it so bad. Right.
So you could say you could fucking hate it. I don't even want to give my time up for that.
Well, I almost went out to get Battlefield Earth just so I could put it on my list.
But I...
Because I know I would hate it.
No, you might like that one. You never know. You never know, Scott. You never know. Wild Wild West with... what's his name? Will Smith.
Kevin Kline,
it was lame. Yeah, it was just... I was a big fan of Wild Wild West when I was a kid, you know, Dr.
Robert
Loveless,
Conrad,
you know,
man.
Yeah, I wanted to see the midget. Where's the midget? Instead, they got this guy in a wheelchair, and then he turns into a giant fucking spider. Or he drives a big mechanical spider. I'm like, what the fuck is that? Why can't you have something with wheels? What's with a choo-choo train spider? It just, I don't know.
I don't know, man.
A flame-throwing big steam engine spider. I fucking hated it.
You think Will Smith regrets that role? Because he's pretty much box office gold, right?
Yeah.
How did that movie do in the box office?
I'm sure it did well. I didn't check. Let's see here. Blah, 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 blah. In the spirit of the original TV series, the film features highly advanced steampunk technology and many bizarre mechanical inventions, including innumerable inventions into the mechanological genius of Artemis Gordon and Arliss Lovelace, including nitroglycerin-powered penny-farthing bicycles.
Hey, that's not what I asked you. I asked you about the box office.
I don't know.
So you just read anything about the movie?
What's your problem,
man? Are you trying to delay until you find the box office? I'm trying to understand your...
No. What do you mean? What is your problem?
I asked you about the box office.
Showing you're angry. What do you do when you're angry?
All right, man. My number seven.
Make you angry?
Yeah. Number seven. Spit it out.
And I saw this year as well. And I think I talked about this on the podcast.
Keep forgetting that your middle name is Jesus.
Number seven, Reign Over Me, 2007, 7.9 out of 10. This is an Adam Sandler vehicle with Don Cheadle, Jada Pinkett Smith, Liv Tyler, and Donald Sutherland.
Why do you even watch shit like that? You know it's going to suck.
A man who lost his family in September 11th attack on New York City runs into his old college roommate. Rekindling the friendship is the one thing that appears able to help the man recover from his grief. So it's Adam Sandler, and he's the same Adam. He's the same asshole he is in every movie, except there's no comedy this time or attempt at comedy.
Yeah,
he's just a big ass, and you're like, well, why would Don Cheadle even waste his time with this guy? He's an ass to Don Cheadle. He's an ass to Liv Tyler, the psychiatrist. He's just a total ass.
Ass.
So part of movies is making the audience care about the characters. And you don't care about this fucking
Maybe
asshole.
Maybe not.
Yeah. No, that is it. You have to reel them in. The audience has to be invested in some of the characters.
You were not invested in any of the characters in Cloverfield except for the monster.
That's why it paid off. For example, If all of them survived,
they all died.
Like, if let's say they made their way and they saw Carnage and everybody else get killed and they made it, that would be on my top 10 list.
Really?
But because they all got killed, it is not on my top 10.
Shut up. Is that it?
Well, at first, Adam Sandler declined his part because he was terrified of it. And I think he should have went with his gut reaction because it's a dramatic part. The guy can't act. He can't handle drama. Although he thought the character was incredible after he read the script, a month later he reread the script and decided he wanted to do it. Jennifer Garner was attached to play the role of Angela, the psychiatrist, but left the project a few weeks before filming. And that's a nice career move there by Jennifer Garner. It's a horrible movie.
How about some make-believe about musical instruments and hoes?
How about some make-believe about musical instruments and hoes? I didn't know that he talked street, that Mr. Rogers. It's out of sight. Okay, here's mine. Number, what are we on? Seven?
Seven, number seven.
I had to do a little moonlighting to keep my bar running. Not an easy life. A girl's gotta do what a girl's gotta do. And in this world, you gotta use everything you got. Hey, handsome. Want some company?
You a cop?
See a badge?
Can you guess the movie?
I have no idea.
No idea.
Uh-uh.
I hate this fucking movie. Barb Wire.
Oh, Barb Wire. That was Pam Anderson.
Yeah. Based on the Dark Horse comic book Barb Wire, the film was produced by Brad Wyman and starred Pamela Anderson. The movie was a star vehicle for Pamela Anderson, which was intended to enable her to cross over from television to movie stardom with a plot based loosely on Casablanca. The film had ends. What? I didn't read this. with a plot based loosely on Casablanca.
Wow. I got to see it now.
The film had Anderson play. And she walks around in this fucking G-string, like, really tight black leather bustier kind of outfit. And
just
she's a mercenary and nightclub owner in a cyberpunk future entrusted with looking after a pair of contact lenses necessary for the exposure of a political scandal. The film was critically mauled on its release and was considered a box office disappointment. It is mainly remembered for notable a notable nude scene in which Pamela Anderson dances topless in a bar as water is sprayed on her, although some were cut on the film's initial release, but restored for later home video releases.
Well, I would think just that alone would knock it out of your top 10 list, right? Just that one scene.
Oh, come on.
Come on.
I could see porn. What do I get? Want to see fucking Pam Anderson? I could see her with Tommy Lee. Give me a break.
Right. Yeah, I guess you're right there.
Jesus Christ. Yeah, I spent $20 just to see Pam's tits, which I could see on thehun.com for free.
Have you seen Pam Anderson lately?
No.
Yeah, she's really hit the wall.
Hit the wall.
She's looking more and more like Tammy, what was her name? Tammy Faye Baker.
Baker, yeah.
Every day.
Oh, no.
Yeah, it's getting really brutal for her.
Scary.
All right, John, number six. Moving on to number six. My number six. This is the only movie I ever walked out of in the theater. The only one. And I saw some pretty shitty ones.
Come on.
Johnny Mnemonic comes to mind.
No, but this one,
2005, I went and saw this with my wife. This is a Terrence Malick scripted drama about explorer John Smith and the clash between Native Americans and English settlers in the 17th century. That's right, John. The New World. Starring
what?
Colin Farrell. Christian Plummer.
See, I wouldn't even go see that.
Christian Bale.
Why would you see that?
And Q. Oranka Kilcher as Pocahontas. I was out on a date night with my wife. What movies are there?
Would you leave her there?
There's the New World.
With her left or by?
Well, no. I was an hour into it. I was like, we got to leave. I can't stand this. We got to leave. I hate this movie.
All right.
No. Let's give it a little bit. So... right when Christian Bale shows up, and now I'm, okay, Christian Bale's here. I'm interested. I want to stay. The wife's like, we got to leave. I can't fucking stand this movie.
Well, certainly.
We got to leave. So we left. This movie is slower. You can, paint dries faster on a wall than the pace of this movie. It's unbelievably slow. And it's all this cinematography and this music. And
you like the thin red line.
It's horrible.
But I like that movie.
It's just horrible, John.
Horrible.
Only one I've ever walked out of.
Wow.
In a movie theater.
Wow.
That's my number six.
Well, I never walked out on this one, but I got to say, it's fucking terrible. I fucking hated it. Especially how it ends. Here's the movie.
I want to buy Bushwood Country Club. I made up my mind. I got to get even with these son of a bitches.
Hold on a minute, Jack. Calm down. Do you want to buy Bushwood from me?
That's right.
Well, let me ask you this. Do I own it?
I checked it out. You own 53% of the stock.
53%? Good old dad. No flies on him. Very few on Mom, as I recall. Mom and Dad. Well, they're gone now.
They passed away?
No. Palm Beach. Wait a minute. I'm sorry. I think they are dead.
Yeah. Kenny Shack 2, man. 1988. The sequel for the critically acclaimed 1980s comedy Caddyshack took home two Razzies for Worst Original Song and Worst Supporting Actor Dan Aykroyd, and was nominated for two others, including Worst Picture. It holds a 0% from 8 critics at Rotten Tomatoes and a rating of 3.4 out of 10 at IMDb. The film was also listed on ESPN's Page 2's Worst Sports Movie Ever. And I tell you, Scott, this I fucking hated this movie. especially Dana Aykroyd's character. Oh, we're going to catch you, Mr. Gopher.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my God. And then it ends up, the movie ends in this bit, another, you know, playoff. But they turn the place into a big, giant fucking putting, you know, a putt-putt golf, miniature golf course.
Yeah, it's fucking awful. And I have a conundrum here, John. This is my number four. So do I talk about it now?
Oh, right.
Because it's my number four.
Sorry, man. I didn't mean to.
Rodney Dangerfield was going to come back and play Al Shervik again for this movie, but rejected the role because the writers, Harold Ramis and Peter Trovecki something, would not let him tweak the script. As a last resort, Jackie Mason accepted to play the role, but as Jack Hartonian.
Wait, they wouldn't let Harold Ramis tweak it?
No, they wouldn't let, Harold Ramis wouldn't let Rodney Dangerfield tweak it. And then Harold Ramis goes ahead and puts by anonymous when the movie comes out. Because he's so goddamn embarrassed by this piece of shit.
What a piece of that's a movie I fucking hate, Scott.
Well, you know, Caddyshack, the first one, is a classic movie, one of the greatest comedies ever. So you walk in and you think your expectations
are way up there,
are pretty high, and this is so fucking awful. 3.4 out of 10 on IMDb. And
brutal.
Like the other things you mentioned, just a shitty movie. And the funny thing is, Jackie Mason was blackballed in Hollywood for whatever, I can't even remember. And then he finally gets an opportunity, and this is his opportunity, Caddyshack 2.
Right.
Well, that was my number four, so we're going to have to skip my number four when we come to it. And what are we on, number five?
Yeah.
My number five, John, 1987, a college freshman returns to L.A. for the holidays at his ex-girlfriend's request, but discovers that his former best friend has an out-of-control drug habit. Do you know what movie I'm referring to,
John? Less than Zero.
That is right, Less Than Zero, 1987. Starring Andrew McCarthy, Jamie Gertz, Robert Downey Jr., and James Spader.
Yeah, I didn't fucking hate that one.
I fucking hated this movie. This, we just talked about Cloverfield with those fucking assholes at the beginning.
You want to see them die?
This is a whole movie.
Whiners,
about
whiny babies.
Fucking rich, privileged assholes. I goddamn hated this movie. Fucking hated
it. How about life mimicking art? With Robert Downey Jr.
Right.
And the scene where he's got, like, the lips are, like, glued together and there's, like, these weird strings of goo. I don't know what the fuck that was. Maybe it was goo. Goo.
You know, Jamie Gertz and who's the one with the big nose who married Matthew Broderick? They both starred in a TV sitcom.
Jessica...
And Sex in the City. What the hell is her name?
Her name?
Come on, man.
She's got a horse face. Real long face.
She was in a movie with Steve Martin. I found her very attractive
in that movie.
If we could only remember her name. She's married to Matthew Broderick.
Yeah.
And you can see why her career took off and Jamie Gertz did not, because Jamie Gertz can't act for shit.
Right.
I did see her. She's in a TV sitcom now, and she does an admirable job, an adequate job. But in this movie, she was freaking horrible. And none of these characters, they were all assholes. I didn't like any of them. What? That's why Less Than Zero is number five on my list, John.
All right. That's good, man. You got to calm down, buddy.
All right.
Calm down. Who the fuck is he? What is her name? Jessica. It's Jessica, isn't it?
Jessica.
It's like a three-name.
Look it up, man. Sex in the City.
Oh, Sarah Jessica.
Sarah Para. Jessica Parker.
Para. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
All right, here's my number. What are we on? Five?
Great White Shark attacks
number five.
Again and Jaws the Revenge, the fourth movie. Just when you thought it was safe to go back in the theater. And I'm Roger Ebert of the Chicago Sun-Times. That's one of four movies we'll review this week. And the question I always have is, when you see the shark at the top of the water, you only see its fin coming out. And yet when you get the shark's point of view, like we just saw,
looking at the people,
it's like its eyes are above the water, too. That's a logical error. among many logical errors.
You've got that right. We saw the same movie. I'm Gene Siskel, the Chicago Tribune. All the major players are gone from Jaws the Revenge, except Roy Scheider's wife, and her name is now just a trivia question. Ellen Brody, played by Lorraine Gary, wife of the boss of MCA Universal Pictures, which happens to make the Jaws movies. 3D failed to save the series the last time out. This time an idiotic script sinks the whole show. The premise, Ellen Brody is a widow. Roy Scheider's character has died, meaning Scheider has enough sense to know when to stop bilking the public. And his wife in the film is convinced that a great white shark has a grudge against her family. Now, you can just hear those sharks talking. I'm going to get me a Brody. That's the last thing I do. I guess that's what they
very,
say.
Very realistic. Thank you. Shark talk.
There. I know.
All right. The movie that obviously it was said right there was Jaws the Revenge.
Did
which
you
is
see the that in
the fourth
theater?
Installment. I think I did. The fourth film in the Jaws series ignores the events of the preceding and more successful Jaws 3D, which I also saw in the theater in 3D, and uses a plot involving a shark seemingly plotting to kill the surviving members of the Brody family. At the end, the shark is heard to roar repeatedly, which is biologically impossible, Scott. Before being hit with a sailboat driven by Sheriff Brody's widow and exploding. And Michael Caine, who missed attending the Oscars to receive his first supporting actor award in order to stay on schedule with this film's shoot, by the way, is seen freshly plucked from the ocean with his clothes and hair perfectly dry.
Out of sight.
Yeah, that was a great fucking movie there.
I've never seen
that's
that
a
one.
Movie I fucking hated.
You saw it at the theater,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, well,
man.
I know.
That's great. And you stuck around the whole time?
I did.
You remember if it was a date?
No, I don't remember. 1987. I don't know. A studio test screening in Houston brought in an unprecedented low score of 3% excellent, which the studio promptly spun to the Hollywood Reporter as an amazingly audience response of 97%. They didn't mention that 97% of the audience fucking hated it.
Oh, that's yeah. A good one. Well, you're going to have to go on. My number four, I already talked about. That was Caddyshack 2.
Caddyshack 2.
You're going to have to give your number four now.
Number four, Scott. You're going to love this one.
239,000 miles from Earth. In the blackness of space, there is a giant rock called the Moon. And in the year 2087, its future will be in the hands of one man. Eddie Murphy is...
Pluto Nash?
Pluto?
Pluto Nash?
It is a pleasure to meet me. Come on!
The battle between pretty evil...
Let's get it right this time.
Pretty good.
Oh, yeah, look at that. Look at me.
Begins.
Well, we were thinking a little more bubblage.
Hey!
Oh, yeah.
Eddie Murphy.
A pleasure to meet you, Pluto.
You married twins, huh?
No, they're not twins. I met the perfect woman, and then I had a clone.
Which one's which?
Who cares?
The Adventures of Pluto Nash.
Whoa! Whoa!
Why don't you take these Hillaries? We appreciate you helping us out.
All right, let's note right at the end there.
Hillary's.
Yeah. You know what those are?
Hillary Clinton's?
Those are money.
With Hillary on it?
Yeah, with Hillary's picture on him. Isn't that weird, man?
Well, didn't Eddie Murphy predict the Giants beating Green Bay right, in one
right.
of his movies? And now maybe Pluto Nash, he'll be predicting Hillary's victory as a president. How about that?
Yeah. What's that? Number four. Number four movies I fucking hate. The Adventures of Pluto Nash. And I didn't know... This was 2002, this movie?
Did you see it at the theater or did you see it on DVD?
I can't remember. The script for this Eddie Murphy film went through numerous revisions and sat unreleased for 2 years after filming was completed until its release in August of 2002. The movie cost $110 million to make.
$110?
And market, but earned just $7.1 million worldwide. A majority of critics lambasted the awful acting, terrible dialogue, and lack of humor. It was nominated for 5 Razzies.
Humor.
Worst Picture, Worst Actor, Murphy, who was nominated for I Spy and Showtime. Worst Screenplay, Worst Screen Couple, Eddie Murphy with Owen Wilson and I Spy, Robert De Niro and Showtime, and himself cloned in Pluto Nash. Worst Couple. And Worst Director, Ron Underwood. Murphy did not promote the film upon its release. Pluto Nash has a 6% rating at the Rotten Tomatoes website.
Wow.
That was my number four, Scott. Movies I fucking hate.
Well, my number three is in the sci-fi genre, just as Pluto Nash. This one, though, came out in 2002. It's got a 6.8 out of 10 on the IMDb, and it's Star Wars Episode II, Attack of the Clones. Hate this movie. Ewan McGregor, Natalie Portman, and Hayden Christensen. One of the worst performances in the history of the world. Not only that, but the worst script ever by George Lucas.
Yeah, they made fun of it, the actors.
Just awful. You know, I think I saw it at the theater, and I was like, oh, that was really bad.
Ugh.
But since we've gotten the whole, you know, the double trilogy, I guess you would say.
Yeah.
My daughter's favorite one is Episode II. So the more I see it, the more I fucking hate this thing.
The more you fucking hate.
Yeah, you know, good movies. You see good movies, and the more you see them, the more things you notice that you didn't notice before.
Yeah.
And it's the same way, but in a bad way, when I see Attack of the Clones again and again and again. I see things that I didn't notice before that makes me hate it even fucking more. I fucking hate this movie. And Hayden Christensen sucks. And
he sucks.
George Lucas cannot write a script to save his goddamn life.
No, yeah. That's
it's horrible.
Horrible.
All right, that's my number three.
Here's my number three, Scott. Ready?
Ready.
Ready for this?
Get the fuck out of the way!
Horsey, hey, don't
I want to try the horsey!
You can't come over here.
I have no idea.
Ding dong, ding dong.
Your drawings are pretty good, but it doesn't make any sense, okay? It's fucking stupid, okay? What you need here is elevation, okay? There actually has to be something that happens that's actually funny. What the fuck is happening here?
Okay, that's a banana.
I see the banana, Gord.
Okay, but there's a string attached to it.
I see the string.
With a bag of eyes on the other end with the baboon eyes with a sauce.
Yeah.
I have no idea what that is.
Freddy Got Fingered.
Oh, I saw that movie.
Yeah.
That would have made my top 10.
Are you fucking kidding me?
No.
Are you fucking kidding me? How could you ever say anything bad about Adam Sandler again? What?
I saw that movie and I thought about putting it on my top 10.
Movie. Oh my God.
I consider it performance art.
Oh, not even close. It's performance art. I could shit in a bag and that'd be performance art. Oh, it'd be better than this.
What is the one thing he did in this movie that was way over the top? Well, he did a lot of things.
Jumped over that horsey scene. Horsey runs over and he grabs the horse's cock and starts stroking
right,
it.
Right, right, right.
Oh, my God.
Well, they do that in Jackass. Is that on your top 10
list?
Yeah,
but Jackass is...
And they drink it on Jackass.
Yeah, that's not on my top 10. But Freddy Got Fingered had some like prominent actors in it. And you figured it was going to be a comedy film about this cartoonist that, you know, is having problems trying to find his way. But he's just completely fucking retarded. Of this Tom Green comedy vehicle, which he gave 0 out of 4 stars, Roger Ebert wrote, "This movie doesn't scrape the bottom of the barrel. Doesn't even scrape it, Scott. This movie isn't the bottom of the barrel. This movie isn't below the bottom of the barrel. This movie doesn't deserve to be mentioned in the same sentence with barrels. The day may come when Freddy Got Fingered is seen as a milestone of neo-surrealism. The day may never come when it is seen as funny. So then it should have been dubbed as this neo-surrealistic performance art and not a fucking comedy film. It sucked ass.
Yeah, you know, I thought about putting it on my list, but I really can't remember anything about it. Even the horse scene, I had to ask you what.
Well, Tom Green was awarded 5 Razzies, including Worst Picture, for this film. He accepted the awards in person, arriving with his own red carpet to walk on, and used his acceptance speech to mock and heap scorn on the audience, as well as the film. He says, when we set out to make this film, we wanted to win a Razzie. I would just like to say to all the other nominees in the audience, I do not think I deserve this more than anyone else. He then concluded by playing the harmonica and was removed from the stage after it became apparent the composition would not end.
The guy's Drew Barrymore.
He's just retarded, man.
Yeah, what does that say about Drew Barrymore?
So, number 3, Freddy Got Fingered. I fucking hated that movie, Scott.
All right, John, my number 2. I think we saw this together, and we'll have to figure out why that happened. This came out in 2000. A Kansas City waitress with dreams of becoming a nurse becomes delusional after seeing her no-good car salesman husband murdered. Becoming delusional from shock, she becomes convinced that she is the former fiancé of her soap opera idol. What she also believes that the soap opera is real and goes to L.A. to find the hospital where he works as a cardiologist.
What? Oh, yeah.
Nurse Betty.
Yeah! Oh, my God.
With Morgan Freeman, Renee Zellweger, Greg Kinnear, Chris Rock, Aaron Eckhart, and Crispin Glover.
Crispy gloves.
I fucking hated this movie, and we went and saw it together. Now, we used to go out on Sunday nights before we did the podcast. It was Sunday night movie night with John, Scott, Joe, and whoever else wanted to go.
It was Friday nights, too, wasn't it?
Sometimes, but mostly Sundays.
Yeah.
And we saw this movie together. Why did we see it? I know I like Greg Kinnear. I like Greg Kinnear, so I probably said, hey, Greg Kinnear's in it. Morgan Freeman, let's check it out.
Everybody, they're all good actors.
No, they're not.
Yeah.
There's one.
Yeah, there's one that's even better.
Chris Rock.
Chris Rock is the best.
This is the worst performance almost in movie history, in my opinion.
Almost.
Chris Rock plays Wesley, and he is such a goddamn horrible actor. It is unbelievable, and all I remember is complaining the whole goddamn movie. I'm surprised we didn't leave. Did we leave? I don't think we left.
No, because part of the complaining is kind of helps me with the movie. It's humorous.
Humorous.
All right, my number 2. We're at number 2, right?
Number 2.
Here's my number 2, Scott.
What's going on?
We got a jump up there. Looks like he's going to do it.
This is Lefty Parks for Channel 8 News. We've just arrived downtown at 4th and Main, where a man has gone out onto the ledge of a building, apparently despondent about his mother, and remains there still.
Hey, kid.
Hey, you don't tell me what to do, though.
You stay right there. I'm doing it.
I'm going to do it.
No.
I'm doing it.
You stay away from me.
You
got
mad.
Oh, no.
Look, I know I'm not your mother, but I am a mother, and I was just thinking you could talk to me, if that's all right.
This is serious up here. Hey, let it talk. What do you want?
I just want you to know that young man next to you is my son.
Mom, stay out of this, okay?
And God knows, he and I have had our difficulties over the years. You see, he was very small for his age, and I made him this adorable little wig and a beautiful little dress.
You had to wear a wig and a pretty little dress?
Is he adorable?
I thought I had things bad.
Not close.
Stop.
Oh, please, you don't have anything I haven't seen before.
Mom, would you turn around, please?
Or my mom.
Both of you?
Will shoot.
Your mom witnessed a murder. Witnessed a murder?
Get in quick or I'll nail those turkeys.
Oh, come on, Gwen. She's supposed to go back Monday.
Watch out!
look, he can already see he's going to have very nice equipment. Would you like me to drive?
No!
All right, that's my number two. Stop or My Mom Will Shoot.
With Sly.
With Sly. A comedy starring Sylvester Stallone along with Golden Girls star Estelle Getty. About a cop whose elderly mother meddles in his life. And I believe I did see this in the theater. Meddles in his life to the point of going on raids and chases with him. The film won three Razzies, one each for Stallone and Getty, as well as for worst screenplay. It also has a 6% rating at Rotten Tomatoes. In a 2006 interview with Ain't It Cool News, Stallone himself referred to it as maybe one of the worst films. Wait, how would he say it? Maybe one of the worst films in the entire solar system, including alien productions we've never seen. That a flatworm would write a better script. I don't understand what the fuck he's saying.
He was in Rhinestone, too.
Yeah.
With Dolly Parton. I forgot about that one. I didn't see that one.
It says that a flatworm, he says here that maybe one of the worst films in the entire solar system, including alien productions we've never seen, that a flatworm could write a better script. And in some countries, China, I believe, running the movie once a week on government television has lowered the birth rate to zero. If they ran it twice a week, I believe in 20 years, China would be extinct. That's a Stallone quote about his own movie. Number two. Movies I fucking hate. Stop or My Mom Will Shoot.
Moving on to number one, John. I think I know what your number one is.
Yeah, you know it.
My number one came out in 1995. It's about a 27-year-old of a very rich man who has made his living in the hotel industry. The son stands to inherit his father's empire, but only if he can make it through all 12 grades, 2 weeks per grade.
What?
To prove that he has what it takes to run the family business. That's right, John. Billy Madison, 1995.
Oh, I thought you loved that movie.
Adam Sandler, Darren McGavin, Bridget Wilson, and Bradley Whitford star in this total piece of shit. I can't believe it. I think it was, I got my first DVD player, and this is one of the first DVD rentals.
Oh.
Was Billy Madison. And I'm watching this movie. I'm like, God, this thing sucks. And then the teacher finally shows up. She was also in Last Action Hero with Arnold. So I'm thinking, okay, maybe she'll get naked or something, right? That keeps me in the movie. She never gets naked.
Never.
And then I'm hooked. I got to see how bad this fucking thing can get. And it's just goddamn awful.
It's showtime.
Awful.
And I think it's one of Adam Sandler's first movies. And it's the same fucking character he plays in every one of his movies. A fucking asshole that I fucking hate. And if I met him on the street, we'd go toe-to-toe, John.
Oh, yeah.
That's right.
Kick your ass.
Fuck that.
You'd be swinging those gorilla heavy
gorilla
arms.
Yeah, don't mess with the Zohan. Awful. You know, somebody rented this movie on demand a couple of months ago. So I'm scanning through the channels, and I stop on
sweet.
Billy Madison. I'm
My
like, okay,
favorite.
Maybe I was wrong. I mean, it's been a long time since I've seen it.
I've grown up.
I couldn't make it through 5 minutes of the fucking thing. I'm like, oh, this is so fucking horrible.
Horrible.
This is so bad. Horrible job.
Oh, man.
Number one, I fucking hate Billy Madison.
Billy Madison.
And Adam Sandler shows up three times on my list.
Yeah.
Billy Madison.
I saw
that. What was the other one? Deuce Bigelow. He played the part in Deuce Bigelow. And Rain Over Me. Adam Sandler.
Nice.
Three times in my top 10 movies I fucking hate.
My number one, of course, you know what it is, but just listen to the lines from the star and producer and whatever else he was in this movie. And just some great acting. Check it out.
It is a pleasure to see you, Your Excellency. And I would be honored to expedite your clearance through security.
Excellency.
Ah, yes. My executive assistant, Kerr.
Thank you.
He has been fully trained to replace me as chief of security.
Are you not aware that I graduated top of my class?
Quite an accomplishment.
It's a joke.
Oh, thank you, sir. I don't know if I could have kept my sanity. Oh, you're too much.
You haven't left for Cyclo.
Your powers of observation are simply startling. Give me 3 pans to go.
I don't know what you're so down about. You still get to be head of security, which, from what I can tell, is a pretty cushy job.
Well, I can assure you that I was not groomed since birth to have some cushy job that even a moron like you could perform. While you were still learning how to spell your name! Spell your name! Spell your name! Spell your name! I was being trained to conquer galaxies! To conquer galaxies!
Yeah, you guessed it, Scott. Battlefield Earth.
Was he like a gay alien?
Oh, you gotta see it, though, man. I will watch Billy Madison if you... I've never seen Billy Madison.
All right. Do you have Battlefield Earth?
No.
I thought you bought it.
Oh, maybe I did. I got to look. I don't know. Battlefield Earth was a box office bomb, earning back only $27.9 million of its $73 million budget and bankrupting Franchise Pictures. Based on the first half of L. Ron Hubbard's 1,000-page novel of the same name, starring John Travolta, heavily hyped by the Church of Scientology, note the laughter. It sounded just like Tom Cruise.
Yeah.
It had the third worst 3,000 theater plus opening weekend up to that time. More than one reviewer called the film Travolting. Rob Vo called the film a crime against celluloid. Several described the pain experienced while watching it. Several describe the pain experienced while watching it. Oh, okay. It has a 3% Rotten Tomatoes rating, listing 3 positive reviews out of 96. The film won 7 Golden Raspberry Awards, including Worst Picture, Worst Screen Couple, John Travolta, and anyone else on the screen with him. In the 2005, an 8th Razzie for Worst Drama of our first 25 years was awarded to the film, and Maxim magazine printed, even Quentin Tarantino couldn't revive Travolta's career after this movie.
Wow.
Yeah.
Did you see it at the theater?
Yes, I did.
Wow.
Movies I fucking hate, and I do believe I walked out on this film. I cannot remember for sure. It's so fucking bad. I've never seen a movie so fucking bad in my life. Even Johnny Mnemonic couldn't do any worse, because it's terrible. It's terrible. It's just and you heard his acting.
Oh,
what
that's
kind
brutal.
Of what kind of accent is that?
Maybe that's really him. Maybe he wasn't acting.
And what's with the really high pitched voice?
Maybe his costume was too tight where his nuts hang. You know, by his bunghole.
Unbelievable.
Where his nuts hang.
Nut sack.
You know what I heard? Jeff Conway, remember that guy?
Yeah.
From Grease and from Taxi?
Yeah.
He remained friends with John Travolta, and this guy's had a life filled with addiction. I mean, the guy's a total fucking mess.
Yeah.
John Travolta... He just reached out to John Travolta and asked him for help, and John Travolta has sent him 30 books of Scientology.
Oh, my God.
So we'll see if Scientology works,
no,
right?
No, it's just going to end up in that.
Right on. Right on, John. That concludes our top 10 movies we fucking hate. We'll have to get that out on the forum.
Yeah.
With the appropriate links.
No doubt. No doubt.
Celebrity news. Just one quick celebrity story. Seinfeld moves to dismiss plagiarism lawsuit. And you called it, John.
Yeah.
You called it. We covered this a couple of podcasts ago, but comedian Jerry Seinfeld insists he was just joking when he called chef Missy Chase a wacko for launching a plagiarism lawsuit against him and his wife. This woman is suing the couple, claiming Jessica Seinfeld's best-selling cookbook, Deceptively Delicious, brazenly plagiarized her own book, The Sneaky Chef. Both books describe how to hide healthy ingredients in children's food. Seinfeld went on to appear on Late Night with David Letterman and made jokes about the vegetable plagiarism facing the pair. But Seinfeld has now apologized for his comments and appealed to a judge to dismiss the lawsuit.
Oh.
Boo-hoo! Wah!
A blue.
Now, when we first covered this story, we said, what a cocksucking asshole this guy is.
Yeah.
And he was comparing her to like a stalker that David Letterman had, and people that break the law is what he was comparing her to, you know? And it wasn't funny. It wasn't fucking funny. This wasn't fun.
No.
And you called it, John. You said, oh, that sounds libelous to me.
Yeah.
In papers filed at the court in New York, lawyers for the couple state, Jerry Seinfeld made overstatements of opinion for comic effect. This action gives new meaning to the terms objectionably unreasonable and publicity stunt. The statement also insists there's nothing unique and innovative about the ideas in this other woman's book. Well, here's the deal. This woman is a working chef and an author. Jerry Seinfeld's wife is what? Jerry Seinfeld's wife.
Wife, yeah, right.
What makes her a goddamn authority on cooking fucking food? Nothing.
Nothing.
Overstatement. That's the best these high-priced lawyers could come up with.
Yeah.
Jerry made an overstatement.
With comic effect.
Right, for comedic effect? Where's the comedy, John? Where's the comedy? Tell me. I wasn't laughing. So I hope that motherfucker, I hope they don't throw that out. If they don't throw out this NBC thing where the guy shoots himself and they blame it on NBC, I don't see why they'd throw this out.
Yeah.
Bunch of shit.
Yeah, it's completely bullshit. He's... Why doesn't he fucking be a man and just say, yeah, I've hate her for doing... for
because he can't be a man.
And that's why I said the shit I said, because I fucking hate this woman. And I was wrong. I fucked up. Here you go. Here's $10 million.
That was an overstatement. She's a woodwork wacko, John. Ha ha ha. Isn't that funny?
You would
woodwork
think somebody
wacko?
Who is in that kind of business would know what an overstatement is and not overstate things.
Well, the guy...
Yeah, what's the thing about that? I don't know.
We talked about this before. The guy's the luckiest guy on the goddamn planet. And it's all because of Larry David. This guy had nothing to do with it. Nothing.
Nothing.
All right, John.
Unbelievable.
Turning to science news.
Hey, there's something I want to mention real quick that I forgot to mention. We got an email way back when from Way of the Bob.
Way of the Bob.
And I hope he hasn't dropped off as a fan because maybe he thought we ignored this email.
WOTB.
But it got all stuck up in our...
we forgot to clean out our mail.
Our email
stuff.
Shit, yeah. We got so many fucking spams. But anyways, he sent us some backing tracks, which I got to get all put together. So, WOTB, shout out to you. We got your email. And I'm putting together those tracks to put on the show. So thanks, man, for sending that in. And there's also been some other requests for backing tracks for beds for the show.
Beds.
Which I'm also putting together. Even some really good obscure loungy ones from, I believe, from Andrew, which I found at least one song. Not the one that he was telling me about, but... we will be putting those together. So send in the requests. Hopefully by the next show I'll have a full show of them.
Well, as long as we're giving show announcements, I have finally gone back into the email and printed out all the winners of Redneck Recital. I have their addresses, and I am ready to mail, John. I am ready to mail out their fabulous prizes.
Nice.
But here's the thing. It happened so long ago, I can't remember who won, right? So all I do is I'm going through email and I'm looking for the ones that included their address. So there's like seven emails I have from seven different people with their address in it.
Wow.
So now instead of, you know, taking the time to go back and listen to see, I know that like Way of the Bob won, and I know maybe one other, but then I'm not sure. So instead of trying to figure that shit out, I'm just going to mail 7 things out. You see what I'm saying?
You'll send them a TTN coffee mug.
Yeah, something like that, you know.
Yeah.
It's all about participating.
Right.
It's all about getting me to participate.
Right. Or one of our fabulous clocks.
Yes. That can be found on Cafe Presto.
Right. TTN underscore stuff.
One quick science story, John. A new study that just came out today. A U.S. study shows why winter is flu season. A coating protects viruses against cold, so they can infect you more easily. Did you get that? Influenza viruses coat themselves in fatty material that harden and protects them in cold temperatures, a finding that could explain why winter is the flu season. The butter-like coating melts in the respiratory tract, allowing the virus to infect cells. Like an M&M in your mouth, John.
Well, how is it
the protective covering
melting
melts
in the winter but not the summer?
When it enters the respiratory tract.
What about the summer?
Well, I guess in the winter, it gets cold enough to make it like a shell.
Ah.
In the summer, it just kind of falls apart. It's too hot, you see. It's too hot. It's only in this liquid phase that the virus is capable of entering a cell to infect it. So it's got the coating, gets into your lungs or esophagus, and then it melts and turns into this liquid and then infects you. The study results open new avenues of research for thwarting winter flu outbreaks.
Wow.
Now that we understand how the flu virus protects itself so we can spread from person to person, we can work on ways to interfere with that protection mechanism.
Nice.
So there's some good science news.
You've got a big mouth. You know, you just talk too much.
I do talk too much. My whole family's down and out with
down.
The flu right now.
Yeah, they're not out. They're down.
They're down.
But not out.
Not out.
No. Nice.
All right, John. Are we going to turn to politics, or are we just going to let Phil... you got any politics there?
No, I don't.
All right, let me run through a couple of quick ones. Republican DA resigns. You know why that happened,
John? No.
After porn racist humor found on computer. In his 30-plus year legal career in Harris County, Texas, Chuck Rosenthal has been no stranger to controversy. As a prosecutor, he lit firecrackers in a stairwell of the district attorney's office soon after the 1995 Oklahoma City bombings.
Oh, Jesus Christ,
it
man.
It was a prank, he said. After he was elected DA in 2000, he called the death penalty a biblical proposition and lobbied unsuccessfully.
Oh, my God. I spun the chamber of an empty revolver and pointed at a cop. It was a prank.
Lobbied unsuccessfully to maintain Texas sodomy law.
Oh, Jesus.
He's back in the headlines again. Last December, as part of a federal civil lawsuit on how justice is meted out in the country, he turned over the contents of his government email account. And what a batch of emails it was, John. Black ministers called for the Republican to resign because of racist material, including a cartoon depicting an African-American suffering from a fatal overdose of watermelon and fried chicken.
Oh, Jesus.
There were adult video clips and love notes from Rosenthal to his secretary, his mistress during his previous marriage.
Do you have ways of showing you're angry?
It appears that his on-the-job antics have finally done him in. Local GOP leaders forced him to abort his re-election bid.
These fucking guys, man.
Fucking Republicans, man. Oh, and this really pisses me off. I'm sure you've heard this. A congressional committee has asked a federal law enforcement authority to investigate whether Roger Clemens made false statements under oath about his use of performance-enhancing drugs.
And you broke that story, Scott, way
Are
back
you
when.
Fucking kidding me?
What?
They care about Roger Clemens? What about this goddamn country and our civil fucking liberties?
Oh, I know.
Liberties?
That's a big fucking joke.
They're going after Roger Clemens. Why don't they go after Alberto Gonzalez?
Right. Who cares about that
Who
shit?
Who cares about Roger Clemens? I don't care.
I know. I read that. I was thinking, the FBI, what, What are they sitting at a donut shop with nothing to do?
Is this like a smoke screen to take our attention?
Of course it is.
I mean, this is absurd.
Of course it is.
And they're going to go after Barry Bonds again? Big fuck. Who cares?
What a waste of our fucking money.
You want to go after somebody.
But you broke the story. Everybody knows he's a fucking steroid junkie.
Right.
Let's get on with it.
Get on with it. Let's move on. Let's go after Gonzo. Let's go after
the
W. He's
not going to go in the Hall of Fame. Fuck off.
Let's go after Chaney.
Clemens.
For crying out loud.
You big neck, thick neck, redneck.
Goddamn dopes in the Senate.
Unbelievable.
Wedding bells. Bush wedding bells, John.
For the Bush.
The son.
For the daughter.
The son George never had.
Yeah.
Wedding bells will ring in Texas in 10 weeks when one of the first twins marries her beau.
This is recycled stuff.
The president is thrilled about the son that George never had.
Oh.
Jenna Bush and Henry Hager will wed. Hager is the former staff member of Karl Rove's office in the White House. All right, so you know that he's fucked up.
Yeah.
He is in his final year at Darden School of Business at the University of Virginia. But come on. You marry Jenna Bush, do you really have to work again?
There's no rules.
I think it's party time, man.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
No doubt.
And that's the truth.
Oh, get this. Here's what they say. Jenna Bush is an author, John. And she has a book about her experiences working in Central America. Wow, that's got to be a fucking page turner.
Yeah, with 50 Secret Service people around her.
Harry is coming back from Afghanistan. They're going to send William. And what is Jenna and her sister doing?
Nothing.
Nothing. They're getting drunk. That's what they're doing.
Getting drunk and shacking up.
Getting
hitched.
Also, President W said Thursday the country is not recession-bound. And despite expressing concern about slowing economic growth, rejected for now any additional stimulus efforts. So we're not headed for recession.
Because he says so.
Yeah, because the W, he knows.
Because he knows, you know.
Yeah. He knows about the economy.
Yeah.
He knows about foreign policy.
He's really good at math.
It's fuzzy math.
He knows that when you take a blue crayon and a yellow crayon,
it makes green.
It makes green. Yeah. He knows all that stuff, and he's just telling us.
Touch it. Party tonight.
Goddamn
don't
dumbass.
Touch it. Drugs and alcohol.
Yeah.
I gave her white hair.
Also, this is the last W story, and then I'll go get Phil. Oh, I did bring a clip in, but we don't have to play. For quite a while, Bush and his supporters were absolutely convinced that he is the modern-day Truman.
Oh, jeez.
Suffering from low pluval ladings. But whose stature grew in subsequent decades. The good news is, Bushies no longer believe he's a modern-day Truman. The bad news is, they're now convinced he's a modern-day Lincoln. Consider Fox News' Tony Snow.
Oh, jeez.
On the Colbert Report. Colbert, latest polls have his approval rating at 19%, which is a low for a president, but very high for a fetish. Snow.
What?
Snow says, ouch! They actually hated Truman. They hated Lincoln. Lincoln, as late as 1864, was telling his guys to get ready the next incoming administration of George McClellan. So it seems to be a part of a trend. Last month on Fox News, Bush equated himself with Lincoln. Last week, disgraced former Attorney General Gonzo repeatedly made references comparing himself and the Bush administration to the presidency of Abraham Lincoln, suggesting that Lincoln was highly criticized during his presidency and is now highly revered. Conservatives including Newt, John Gibson, David Brooks, Glenn Beck, Rudy Giuliani have also taken up the comparison.
It's totally different, though, because they were it was opponents of the war, and they also were totally, you know,
well, the nation was
for
divided.
Refusing on compromise of the slavery issue. But the whole nation was at war. There's a whole difference between
with each other.
Yeah. What are these fucking people?
They're
stupid?
So goddamn delusional. And the thing that pisses me off is the W's got $5 billion. To spend on rewriting history. And we got to make sure that somehow Total Talk Nonsense gets into the Library of Congress, John, so that they know the real story about this dope, this chimp. I mean, they have the video. You just have to look at one goddamn video of this guy talking.
Yeah.
It's unbelievable. Oh, speaking of that, I did bring in one clip. It's kind of a long clip, and if you want to pause it to add commentary.
To analyze.
But it's classic W with the stuttering, and he thinks he's a comedian. But I can't even remember what the clip is. Oh, I think it's about the illegal wiretaps.
You can get the Congress to protect telecom companies from lawsuits, and there's no recourse for Americans who feel that they've been caught up in this. I know it's not intended to spy on Americans, but in the collection process, information about everybody gets swept up and then it gets sorted. So if Americans don't have any recourse, are you just telling them when it comes to their privacy to suck it up?
I wouldn't put it that way if I were you in public. But I mean, you've been around long enough. If people who analyze the program fully understand that America's civil liberties are well protected, there is a constant check to make sure that our civil liberties of our citizens aren't. Are treated with respect.
Yeah, well, what's the litmus test? What's the...
And let me talk about the phone companies.
That's a lie. It's a lie. He's lying.
Phone companies to participate if they feel like they're going to be sued.
Rightly so.
Dummy.
These people are responsible for shareholders. They're private companies.
Like he would know.
The government said to those who have alleged to have helped us that it is in our national interest and it's legal. It's in our national interest because we want to know who's calling who. From overseas into America, we need to know in order to protect the people. It was legal. And now, all of a sudden, plaintiff's attorneys, class action plaintiff's attorneys, I don't want to try to get inside their head. I suspect they see, a financial gravy train.
Give them a fucking banana.
Stop it. First, it's unfair. It is patent.
Financial gravy train. That's why the lawyers are into it, because it's a financial gravy train. Not that it's against the law.
Yeah.
And not that it's a direct attack on our civil liberties. No, that's not it. It's because it's a financial gravy train. But he doesn't want to get in their head and try to figure out what they're thinking. Goddamn chimp.
Yeah.
Only unfair. And secondly,
boo-hoo.
These lawsuits create doubts amongst those who will whose help we need. I guess you could be relaxed about all this if you didn't think there was a true threat to the country. I know there's a threat to the country.
You caused it.
And the American people expect our Congress to give the professionals the tools they need.
The tools, John, the tools.
To listen to foreigners who may be calling into the United States with information that could cause us great harm. So, on the one hand, the civil liberties of our citizens are guaranteed by a lot of checks in the system, scrutinized by the United States Congress. And secondly, I cannot emphasize to you how important it is that the Congress solve this problem. The Senate has solved the problem. And people say, would you ever compromise on the issue? The Senate bill is a compromise. And there's enough votes in the House of Representatives to pass the Senate bill. It's a bipartisan bill. And the House leaders need to put it on the floor. Let the will of the House work.
The floor.
My judgment happens to be the will of the people.
He's such a fucking...
Oh, his judgment is the will of the people.
The tools they need to protect
the country.
What a
bunch of shit.
Blaine.
Well, he is so full of shit because... it's been well documented the fact that before 9/11 he had been warned. Tenet was warned. They told him no, you got to tie all this stuff to Saddam even before 9/11 happened. And There's a thing on Dig. I can't remember where it was. I was going to email it to myself. It's an old story from like 2003, and it's vetted through Time Magazine and all these different places where they had all this information. They had a bunch of the hijackers. There's even documentation about how the CIA was giving away visas to these Al-Qaeda people because they were helping out in this Afghani war against bin Laden. They were helping bin Laden out to fight against Saddam Hussein when he invaded Kuwait. So the CIA had been letting them come in this country, even training them on how to fight. Some believe that it's possible that the CIA might even be responsible for the hijackers getting in this country. And the FBI had a couple of these guys, and they didn't arrest them.
Well, and it goes back to...
So they had all the technology the whole time. It's the fucking leadership that was fucked up, that couldn't come together and have some sort of consensus and say, hey, we need to do something about this shit right now. And they didn't do anything. They didn't do shit. He had paperwork in his fucking hands telling them, this is what's going to happen. There's going to be an attack. It's going to happen this summer, maybe in the fall. And we think it's going to deal with planes. The FBI has a couple of these guys that have been watching. They're suspicious. They think they're known terrorists. Here's all the stuff. What do you want to do? Nothing. Tear it up.
Wasn't there a memo how bin Laden plans to attack the U.S.
Yeah,
with airplanes?
Yes, yes. That's the one I'm talking about.
And the thing is, when we do hear about when people were trying to come over and kill people, and we stop them.
Folks are trying to kill people.
When we hear about those stories, it's never that, yeah, we intercepted this call. We overheard this call. No, it's good technical.
Police work.
Police work, John. Detective
work.
It's not about a phone call.
No.
Tell me one attack that was not carried out because somebody intercepted a phone call. None. And he just talks about foreigners, but it's not just foreigners. It's everybody. Everybody.
Right.
This fucking guy. This woman, this Naomi, what's her name?
Klein.
Naomi Klein. She came out with the 10 things. She went and studied these fascist governments, and there's 10 steps that they need to take to become fascist.
Right.
And we're like more than halfway there.
Yeah.
Because of this fucking guy. Number one, invoke a terrifying internal and external enemy. Number two, create secret prisons where torture takes place. Number three, develop a thug, caste, or parliamentary force not answerable to citizens. Number four, set up an internal surveillance system. Number five, harass citizens groups. Six, engage in arbitrary detention and release. Seven, target key individuals. Eight, control the press. Nine, treat all political dissents to be traitors. Dissidents. Political.
Descendants.
Number 10, suspend the rule of law.
Yeah.
I mean, we're way more than halfway there.
Yeah.
This fucking guy, man. It's unbelievable to me. Unbelievable.
I know. It's so fucked up.
And they're going to go after Roger Clemens. Yeah, that's really important.
Yeah, it's completely, it's fucked up. I mean, you talk to people who are, you know, still for the W, and they just don't get it. I mean, I talked to one guy at work who was telling me that, I listen to Rush, man, and I'm not going for Obama. He doesn't even wear a lapel pin with the American flag. I'm like, wait a minute. So? What
do you?
Should he wear a swastika?
Does this guy wear a lapel pin?
Or you sound like a, what are you fucking, you sound like a Nazi? Because he doesn't wear a swastika and a salute, Sieg Heil? He's not a, you sound like a nationalist. What the fuck is that? He's a patriot. He's somebody who is doing what is free to do. He doesn't have to wear one. Maybe he doesn't want a hole in his suit. And then this shit with him not holding his hand over his heart when the national anthem is playing. Well, anybody who's seen that video, Obama's the only one singing. The rest of them got their hands in their hearts, Hillary and Richardson, but they're not singing.
Lip-syncing, John. Come on.
Lip-syncing. But then a picture, I've seen a picture where there's George H.W. Bush, ex-head of the CIA, president of the United States, standing there with his hands at his side.
Well, he's the president. When you're the president, you can do shit like that.
That's, what?
That's right.
Lead by example, I thought.
No, he made it there. He doesn't have to do that stupid shit anymore.
Have to kiss up to the country.
Right.
Yeah, that's fucked up. Yeah, it's completely ridiculous. We're afraid of what? What are we afraid of? There's 140,000 troops, something like that, in Iraq. How many insurgents? How many of these Al-Qaeda are there? How many?
I don't know.
They don't know. They don't know how many are there. 20,000, 10,000, 2,000.
John, if they call in to the United States, then we'll know about it.
Yeah. And then what's going to happen? Are they going to fly their jets over here or bring their aircraft carriers and their fucking nuclear submarines? How are they going to get here? What kind of war is going to happen between these people? Absolutely no fucking war, because almost anybody can own a gun. An American citizen can have a gun and blow the fucking guy's brains out when they walk in their house. And it's not going to be an army of them. It's going to be two or 19. 19 that slipped underneath the most sophisticated fucking intelligence agency and Federal Bureau of Investigation and most powerful government in the world. 19 fucking well-motivated idiots, psychopaths, just like Timothy McVeigh. What a joke.
Joke, John.
What the fuck are we afraid of? We should be afraid of our own government.
Here's what I'm afraid of, getting all my rights stripped. I'm afraid that they're going to just knock down my door, drag me out, and I'll be in Gitmo for 5 years without anybody telling me what I'm charged with.
No doubt.
And then they're going to put me on a barge, send me out 25 miles, and execute me. What do they call that?
No, they're not going to execute you.
What's the term?
Render you?
Render. They'll render me.
They won't execute you. They'll make you and I do a pyramid naked.
Well, I'll be on the bottom.
I hope your back can hold me up, man. Remember that time?
Yeah, I remember that.
Remember?
Yeah.
That was hot yogurt on your back, by the way.
Oh. All right.
Yeah, I was faking it.
All right, man. Let me go get the door.
It's weird how all of a sudden we just dumb it down and he starts dinging. Probably because he didn't think we could hear it. You want to wait before and start walking when I...
Yeah. No, I'm ready.
Oh, okay.
I'm ready to go, man.
Are you... Can you get to the door?
Yeah. Hey, man.
Jesus Christ.
All right, I'm back.
How are you back and have the same
He's still
footstep
making his way
sounds
back.
As him?
I run back.
Oh. How come I don't hear tick, 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 tick?
Well, I time it, you know, with his...
Is it one big... Oh, yeah. Big strides?
Yeah.
Ding, 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 ding. Nice. All right, Phil, you ready?
Of course, John. I'm always ready. It's glad to be back.
Oh, excellent.
Back at the saddle, if you will.
All right.
I have a 2.5-page news... to deliver tonight.
Can we start? Or
I would like to come earlier to talk about the top 10 movies I hate. Like Ron Burgundy, Anchorman. I fucking hate that movie.
Yeah, right. Or Broadcast News.
Yes.
Isn't that a movie?
With the great Christopher Reeve was in that movie.
Yes. Was he?
Of course he was.
All right, are you ready?
And Burt Reynolds. Of course, I'm always ready.
Thank you, John.
Now, with your award-winning TTN News.
Scott, it's good to see you.
Phil McCracken Whitcomb.
And our first story tonight, John. Casting director asks for inbred-looking extras is fired. A casting director for a horror movie being shot in West Virginia has been fired after putting out a call for extras with facial features that would make them look inbred.
Facial?
Casting director Donna M. Balachak was dismissed after Governor Joe Manchin released a statement describing the casting call as offensive. He added that he thought that the movie, a horror flick titled Shelter, does not sound like a movie worth watching. producers Emilio Desbarros and Darlene Camano apologized for the very insensitive casting call sent out without our knowledge. The incident also drew attention of West Virginia Senator Robert Byrd, who released a statement saying, "Unfortunately, some of the filmmaking industry have decided that perpetrating stereotypes and insulting generations of West Virginians means cash at the box office." Next story, John.
Nice.
Brett Favre retirement announcement was an error. Brett Favre announced his retirement, and that was an error. Just like his last-minute interception in the NFC Championship game and his decision to play another year. Next story, John. This is a follow-up story. We covered a story about a man who had sex with pavements on the show. This is the follow-up. The man who tried to have sex with pavement escapes being put on the sex offenders registrar because of a technicality. It turns out there's no chance any road in England would be under 18 years old. Next story, John. Mother snooping around her daughter's room while her daughter was attending high school finds her 27-year-old boyfriend. Police said they arrested a Pennsylvania man accused of coming to North Texas to have sex with a 14-year-old girl. According to police, the girl's mother found 27-year-old Eric Gagan of Central City, Pennsylvania, hiding in her daughter's room. Investigators said they think Gagan climbed into the girl's second-floor bedroom window that had been in her bedroom for more than 24 hours. Gagan arrived at 6 p.m. Sunday at the teen's house without her parents' knowledge. Police said the friend drove him nearly 1,500 miles from Center City near Philadelphia to Bedford, and Gagan apparently planned to fly back. Gagan and the 14-year-old apparently met on the internet chat room, then exchanged text messages and called each other. Gagan remained jailed on $50,000 bond, Wednesday on suspicion of sexual assault. He is accused of having sex with a teen Monday after she returned home from school. Next story, John.
Mr. McFeely.
A man who decided to walk from England to India with no money in order to prove a point about the kindness of strangers is forced to quit early because he failed to account for those fucktards, the French. Next story, John.
What?
Do I need to say the whole thing again? Bush to hold press conference to announce plans to make it easier to listen to your phone calls and read your emails. In addition, he states the economy is not heading toward recession. Knowing Bush's grasp of reality, the U.S. is most likely already in a recession. Wow. Next story, John. Duct tape. The greatest invention of the modern era can add one more use to the list. A man kills himself with duct tape. An accountant was found dead in a hotel bathtub with his face covered by duct tape, and what authorities say was a suicide. Paul Mento, 52, worked for the Associated Press for 26 years, including more than 15 as a budget director. His body was discovered Monday afternoon at a Best Western in Brooklyn by a hotel maid. He had checked in earlier in the day. Mento apparently suffocated because of duct tape. The medical examiner ruled the death a suicide and said it was caused by asphyxiation due to the obstruction of the nose and mouth. Wow. Next story, John. Man trying to shoplift suit by wearing it out of the store, caught after he forgets to take the hanger off first. Only a sign saying, "Stop me, I'm a total fucking idiot and a thief," would have made the thief look more unprofessional, police remark. Next story, John. Man upset about high gas prices, so he beats his wife. A 77-year-old man told a deputy he roughed up his 74-year-old wife because he was upset about the high cost of gas and for having to drive her to and from dialysis treatments. Authorities said Richard Close was charged with aggravated battery and battery on a person over 65. Next story, John. Next story, John. Exxon asks for the Valdez fines to be lowered. Pleading that they have been having to light their cigars with $50 bills instead of hundos. Next story, John. Oh, this is somebody else we've covered on the show, Senator Larry Craig. Senator Larry Craig is looking for interns. Here is posted on his website. Idaho Senator Larry Craig is currently seeking intern applications for the summer term, which runs May through August. The application deadline is March 15th. However, if more time is needed for the application process, please contact Senator Craig's office for an extension. Next story, John.
When you were a little boy, what kinds of things did you like to do?
I like the sword fight.
Sword?
Next story. 1 in 10 nurses admit having affairs with patients in their care.
Nice.
1 in 10. Too bad my nurses are always named Guy. Next story, John. Man tries to rob store using finger as a pretend gun. Outside of his jacket. A 19-year-old tried to hold up a Volusia County convenience store on Sunday night using his finger as a pretend gun. Next day, Paige. Justin McLaffery of South Dakota was arrested on attempted robbery charges after the incident at Circle K. According to Volusia County Sheriff's deputies, McLaffery entered the store at 8 p.m. and told the clerk, "Give me all your money in the register." The clerk, who had been looking down at the time, thought someone was playing a prank on him, but looked up and noticed that McLaffery pointed a finger at him, apparently pretending that it was a gun. The 22-year-old clerk walked out from behind the counter, and McGliff ran out of the store. He was later found when Daytona Beach responded to a disturbance call. Next story and last story, John.
You are a meathead.
Police arrest a 28-year-old man Sunday on cruelty to animals charge. For what, you may ask? Do you know?
No.
He yelled an obscenity at a police dog in a patrol vehicle.
What?
Moses Rogers Jr. of the 700 block of East Avenue also faces a disorderly conduct charge.
What?
Police say Rogers yelled an obscene statement in the window as he walked past a patrol vehicle that contained a patrol dog, causing the dog's behavior to become overloaded, tormenting the dog, the affidavit states. Rogers became irate when the officer went to talk to him and asked for identification and continued drawing bystanders' attention.
What?
Rogers released Sunday from the Martin County Jail in lieu of $750 bail.
Jesus Christ.
A jail official said. And that's the news, child. All right, then. I got to run.
All right, Phil, you're not very professional talking over your bumps.
It's just I'm very excited. I have an audition with Red Bar Radio.
I need to
get over to Mike D's right now.
All right.
Red Bar Radio. All right, well. Do you think I need to change my inflection at all?
No, just get out. Bye-bye.
Mike D, Red Bar Radio. And I'm Phil
McGregor-Wickham. Oh, Jesus Christ. All right.
Bye, man. Well, we didn't even get to say good luck.
No.
To
no.
Phil.
Good riddance. I mean, what a shame.
What a shame. Oh, one other thing. On the way over.
Well, he doesn't do Sunday nights over there.
I was listening to the Mediocre Show, and I just had the opportunity to hear that Matt of the Mediocre Show got engaged.
What?
Matt
that is
engaged.
That is one big pile of shit.
Really?
I just heard the first part, so I don't know if they have a date set or not. But
anus
will steal the mediocre's toast, and we will have a toast to Matt for his engagement. Now, John, are there any words that you need to tell Matt before he gets married?
Yeah.
In our urethras, we have a little teeny tiny vagina.
Yeah.
No.
What?
No.
What?
What you need to talk about is what you failed to tell me before I got married. And we really should write a book.
Oh, yeah, well, it's...
about this.
Yeah, Matt. I've talked about this on the show before, where when I got engaged, I explained to my to-be wife at the time, I said, hey, look, you might want to have second thoughts. I really want you to think this through, because I am a freaking slob. I do what I want. I want to play in a band. I'm immature. I like fart and dick jokes. I'm totally immature. I'm never going to grow up. There's no possible way. So really think this through. Because I'm a jerk. I'm like all these things that they say about men, that's me. I love the remote. I love to sit there and watch TV. So think about that.
Okay, just, so now after this, after you told your wife this, yeah. And now you've been married for, what, 12 years?
Yeah, 13.
How many times do you reference that conversation?
Every time something comes up, even she'll say stuff like, well, I married you, didn't I? And I say, whoa, wait a minute. You had your chance. Remember, we had this discussion.
I gave you the chance.
I gave you the opportunity to bail out. I said, think about it. This is not a good decision. You're in for trouble. And you said, oh, no, it'll be fine. And she freaking hates it. You can ask her. Ask her right now when you leave. If we had that discussion, she'll say, oh, Jesus Christ. Yes, we did. And he never lets me forget it.
Right. Because, and
don't get me wrong. I love her to death, but I made sure that, I set the table before we ate.
Nice. That's a nice way to put it. Set the table. So that's the advice we're giving Matt. You need to have that conversation so that 10 years from now or 8 years or whenever you can say, hey,
yeah, neither of you will regret it.
We talked about this.
Remember
that?
Yeah, but I thought you were just kidding.
What a great thing to have in your back pocket, which I didn't have because John didn't give me this information.
Well, you know, it's kind of a prenuptial on your relationship.
It's an informal prenuptial.
An informal prenuptial. It's not monetary. It's more about every man, you know, and I've given up when you call... I never had my own place, but when we lived together, we had our own separate spaces. And you will, too, when you're married. But once you have kids, you'll finally realize that not one single square inch of the house is yours. And it's really important that you have some sort of outlet, or you're going to go completely fucking crazy.
Well said, John.
A podcast or whatever it is. And try and get yourself a man space.
Man space.
Which is my little domain down here.
So great advice there. And we wish Matt well and luck with his impending nuptials.
No doubt. That's
right
our,
on, John.
Our parting advice for the week.
I really Tune think in. We should turn that into a book. Yeah. I think it would sell. I'm telling you.
All right. Well, yeah. Well, that's a good idea.
I'll put the outline together. Okay. And that for next week.
Yeah, you could edit my grammar.
Oh, all right.
Should be a lot. What are you doing, man?
Oh, the
that's
beer.
My leather out
me,
there.
What, I thought it was pleather.
It is not pleather. It is real leather.
All right, then.
What are you doing to it?
Oh, that reminds me as well. Christ. My son has a new book. It's called The Gas We Pass.
Oh, I thought you meant my son has a new book out. He's doing a book tour.
Something that I don't know where we got it, but I'll bring it in to read some excerpts
from
next
The
week.
Gas We Pass.
From The Gas We Pass.
Excellent. Well, that's all the time we have this week with Total Talk Nonsense with John and Scott. I'm John.
And I'm Scott.
And we'll be back next week with 123, right?
Right on, John.
All right. Well, thanks for listening. And drop us a line. Call us at 847. What the hell's the number?
TTNGIZD.
G-I-Z-D. And G-I-Z-D. TTNGIZD. Or in other words, 847-889-4493. 847-889-4493. Leave us a message. We're out of here.
You're listening to John and Scott on Total Talk Nonsense.